97.5 The Fanatic.
And happy and blessed Sunday afternoon, everyone in the Delaware Valley, everyone listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, wherever you are, if you're listening on your app, anyone out there in our listening audience, hope you're having a wonderful, awesome Sunday afternoon. It is beautiful out there in our area, and it's going to be a wonderful 4 hours coming up. I'm Rob Motti. I'll be here with you till 8 p.m., 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing the show. Just listen to Joe Stazak and Tyler as I was driving in here. They had some good stuff going. And I just posted what I want to talk about today. Because yesterday I was a little down on sports coming back, and I'm skeptical about it. Got some serious doubts. Well, I don't want to go into that. I don't want to even talk about the virus. I just don't want to go into all the negativity. I want to talk about a beautiful moment that happened yesterday afternoon. It was still afternoon. It wasn't evening yet. And I just took the photo and I posted it on all of my social media, and I'm sure Josh is going to share it out from 97.5, the Fanatic's Twitter account. And it is of Julie Ertz, the wife, the soccer star, and superstar soccer player, and the wife of Philadelphia Eagles Pro Bowl future Hall of Fame tight end Zach Ertz. And this photo that I shared out is one that was taken by AP photographer Rick Bowser, and it was before the game between the Chicago Red Stars and Washington Spirit, and Julie and her teammate Casey Short play for Chicago. And in the photo during the anthem, I know some teams, the North Carolina Courage yesterday, the entire team took a knee and wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts and armbands. The Chicago team, Julian and Casey's team, there were some who stood and some, most who kneeled, but Julie took a knee with Casey. And in the photo that you will see, and I'm sure you've seen it be shared out all over social media, it's Julie hugging Casey, and if you watch the video, there were some tears, and I'm looking at part of the video, and I see where Julie has her arm out, and knowing Julie is a woman of strong faith, and Zach is a man of strong faith, I'm pretty sure it looks like to me she was lifting her hand up to the Lord and praying at some point during that. So it was a very emotional moment. It was an extremely emotional moment. It was a beautiful moment. And the reaction to it on social media made it an instant classic. And I thought to myself, like, this is going to be one of those iconic moments. An iconic, beautiful moment. Photos that are going to be forever remembered. And this is going to be one of those photos that we see for many years to come. And it's a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of understanding. It's a symbol of, it represents being there for your teammate, being there for your fellow brother or sister, and showing that you support everything that they are going through. And it doesn't surprise me that Julie Ertz was the one hugging Casey Short in this photo. So as I see so many people reacting in such a positive way, and of course you're going to have those who look at it in a different view, And if you are one of those people, I'd love to have a conversation with you. But I want to know, in your words and in your thoughts, what is it about that moment? What is it about that photo that makes it such a special moment in time that I certainly feel is going to be considered one of those iconic moments that was captured on camera for many, many years to come? So 610-632-0975, that's the number to join the conversation. I want to kick it off with the conversation about that photo, the significance of it, what it means to you in your own words when you see that. And this photo has been shared and retweeted and commented on and posted all over. I hate the term viral, but I guess, Josh, you would consider this photo instantly viral. So tell me in your words what makes it so beautiful. Because for me, it shows the symbolism of unity. It shows Julie, first of all, putting herself in someone else's shoes and trying to stand with Casey, figuratively, because they're kneeling here. But what she stands for, what she represents, what she's trying to fight for, awareness that they're trying to raise. And I just thought it was such a beautiful moment. It's the essence of who really Julie Ertz is, and so many others who participated yesterday. And while we're on the topic of iconic photos, because no doubt this is going to go down as one of those symbols, one of those moments, give me some of your, over the course of sports, just some of your photos that stand out. Just iconic photos, sports images that you've ever seen. I could think of several, and I don't want to give them away, but as you call and share those, I'll write them down and we'll share them out and we'll talk about them. But for me, I will give you one. Like, a lot of the photos are photos that I remember, to me, that are iconic, are ones that I wasn't even alive for. And for, I don't know why, maybe because I'm such a big time baseball guy and I love baseball and I'm a baseball diehard and a baseball purist, and I cover the game. But for me, the catch, Willie Mays' over the shoulder catch, is one of those iconic photos, sports images. And it was in game one of the 1954 World Series at the Polo Grounds in New York. And Willie Mays makes an over the shoulder catch and then turns around and he's just a few feet away from the center field fence and throws a runner out. And I actually have that photo on a plaque, and it was hanging in my office for a while, but I took it down when I moved, but I still have it, but it's not hanging on the wall. I just ran out of space, smaller office, but I still have it. And that's just one of those, to me, one of those iconic sports images that I'll never forget. And I wasn't even alive for it. It was 20 plus years before I was even born. But it's a photo, it's a memory, it's an image. And I feel like this photo of Casey Short with Julie Ertz 20 years from now is going to be looked upon 15 years from now as like one of those beautiful moments in sports history, one of those beautiful images in sports history. So I want to hear your thoughts on what makes it so special for you, because I know so many people out there feel that way. You've talked about it on social media, you've shared it, you've posted it, you've retweeted it, and everything else. So I would love to hear, in your words, what makes it so special. And give me some of those iconic sports images. And there are others. And there's another one that comes to mind for me, another one where I wasn't around for it. It's a boxing one. I don't want to give that away just yet, but it's a boxing photo in the 60s. But it's one of those that you'll always remember. So that's number one. That's the first thing I want to talk about. 610-632-0975. The other is, yeah, baseball's supposed to be coming back. So I don't want to look at the negative side of I have no idea how this is going to happen. I don't know how they're going to pull it off. Okay, assuming everything continues on track for Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, and they all come back, and we'll actually have sports to talk about in a couple weeks. We'll have sports to talk about in a month from now, and they'll have all the sports going on, and then football comes back. As I look at the 60-game season for the Phillies, and I look at the odds on the over-under number of wins, and I'm looking at odds shark. So I know I think I saw a different place, different sports book that may have had 32. Another one had 32.5. This one has 31.5 wins. 31.5 wins. So you're talking about a 60-game season. If they go 32-28, they will cover the over. I'll take the over. And it feels like for me, it's been forever since I was at spring training. March 12th, they shut it down. It's been that long. I arrived March 1st, went to the ballpark over the course of the next 2 weeks, and then it's been shut down now for over 3 months, 3.5 months. But when I was there, and for the course of throughout March up until they shut things down, we were at least given an opportunity to see what we thought the Phillies were going to look like. And I remember the first thing that stood out to me when I was there was the culture of the team was just completely different with Joe Girardi, with Brian Price. Girardi is the manager. Brian Price is the pitching coach, the new staff. And talking to the players when we were allowed to go up to them and talk to them face to face, and man, I don't know when we're going to be able to do that again in person. But a lot of guys talked about the difference. The culture inside the clubhouse was different in that you knew Joe Girardi was, they had tremendous respect for him as a winner, as a guy who had won as a player World Series with the Yankees, who had won a World Series as a manager with the Yankees. So they had instantly had tremendous respect for him. He commanded the room. And they said there was a difference between, you knew that Joe Girardi had a way he wanted things done, and you did it. Whereas when Gabe Kapler was here, and remember, I was a Gabe supporter, and I disagreed with those who thought the players didn't like him, because I talked to enough players and covered the team to really get a feel for it. It may have been a few guys who weren't all that keen on Gabe, but for the most part, they really did like Gabe Kapler. But the difference was Gabe was learning on the fly as a manager. He didn't command that same type of respect that Joe Girardi did. So that was the number one thing that stood out to me, was the culture in this clubhouse is different. The team has instant respect for Joe Girardi. And I said throughout March that I thought Brian Price's addition was going to be maybe the most important one for this team. And being there, talking to the pitchers and seeing how he related to them, such a difference in philosophy from Chris Young, that I really think Brian Price is going to have an impact on this pitching staff. And then when I look at the offense and some of the upgrades with the addition of Zach Wheeler to the rotation, with Didi Gregorius in the lineup, with McCutchen now coming back healthy, I certainly feel this is a team that's capable of winning 32, 33, 34 games. So I would go over at 31.5. I'm comfortable in that 32 to 34 win total. I don't know if that's going to be enough in this division, and they didn't increase, or expand the playoffs yet, the postseason. Tony Clark told the AP, told my colleague Ron Blum, that there's still a possibility he'd be willing to listen. So they may still expand the postseason. But I'm comfortable going over 31.5 for the Phillies. I want to hear your thoughts on what you think this team is capable of, and if you will go over under for the 31.5 wins that I see listed as the total for the Phillies in Vegas. So 610-632-0975. I got a couple other fun things that I want to talk about too as well over the course of the next 4 hours. One of them involves me not staying in my lane, but I'll explain that later. But right now, I want to kick it off with Tyler in Jackson. You are on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? How you doing over there?
Fantastic, my man.
Yeah, just you know, think about the question you said regarding the just best, most iconic shots, you know, photography in sports history. For my lifetime, you know, I'm only 21. Mm-hmm. I would say my favorite, you know, the most iconic one that I've ever seen currently. I mean, my goodness, I know it's going to bring up bad memories for some of us, but there's a photographer out there. Mm-hmm. Who captured Kawhi Leonard, Joel, Ben in the Raptors bench.
Yes.
As the shot was in the air and they're all looking. And it's obviously, if you don't know in this moment what's about to happen, and honestly, in that moment, the ball, what was it, the triple doink?
Quadruple, yeah.
The quadruple bounce.
Tyler, I'm looking at the photo right now, and you can see the angst in all their eyes because they're watching it. Joel.
That's a buzzkill.
Yeah. Kawhi right there is crouching, looking at it. And, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's my lifetime. I think all time, mm-hmm. it'll be a hard fight between Ali over Liston.
Oh, you nailed it. That's the boxing one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Ali over Liston or, gosh, I'm sorry for forgetting their names. I'm going to get killed for this. But, our Olympian athletes, our track and field athletes with the black power.
Yeah, Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let you take it from here, man. You guys have a good day. Stay safe.
All right, Tyler. Appreciate it. He nailed it right off.
Can I say this? I hate that he listed more than one because it took mine. Before the show, once you gave the topic, it was Ali Liston. Because I actually had that poster in my room.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to limit callers to just give me one. I don't want them to get... He gave out
first
three.
Segment of the show, we're just listing off things?
First caller just nailed three of them. Now, two of them are incredible. Two of the most iconic. When you're talking about Ali standing over Sonny Liston in a heavyweight boxing championship match on May 25th, 1965, first round knockout. And the photo, you said you have that hanging where? In your house? You have a poster of it?
Well, it was in my room growing up, like my childhood house and everything like that. And there's so much that comes with it. I mean, we know what Ali went through in that decade in the 60s. Then there's also... You remember the controversy over the phantom punch. Was there a phantom punch that comes with that? And then anytime somebody sees a picture of Ali or another fighter from decades later, Mike Tyson, we all know the futuristic what-if dream fight that everyone likes to talk about. So it's a good conversation piece as well.
No doubt. But that I think, is one of the most iconic images for sure. He also named another one that is also going to be has forever been remembered. This was in the Olympics in Mexico, in Mexico City. So, and it was Tommy Smith and John Carlos stare downward while extending their gloves. They got gloves on their hands skyward during the Star Spangled Banner after. Smith received the gold and Carlos got the bronze for the 200-meter run at the Summer Olympic Games. And that is the Black Power salute. That is an iconic sports image from 1968. So those two right there. And then he gave us one from last year, one that we're not going to – nobody – no Sixers fan is wants to reminisce or remember this, but that – the photo of Kawhi Leonard crouching in the near the baseline. He's actually in the photo. He's actually out of bounds. So is Joel Embiid. And they're looking and watching and waiting for the quadruple bounce. But that is no doubt – going to be one of those because of what happened. His shot went in, took four bounces, it went in, it ended the series in game seven, and Toronto goes on, advances to the NBA Finals, goes on and wins the NBA Finals. So that is no doubt an iconic sports image for sure. 610-632-0975. I posted the photo. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure many of you have shared about it, talked about it, discussed it. It's the photo from yesterday. Women's soccer, Chicago Red Storm teammates, Julie Ertz. We all know Julie Ertz. Superstar, one of the best in the game. She is also the wife of Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. And she's kneeling with Casey Short, her teammate. It's an emotional moment. It's a beautiful moment, and I want you to share with me some other iconic sports images, but also tell me about what is it about that moment, about Julie hugging her teammate Casey Short, crying with her. To me, it appears like she's praying with her too. What makes that so special in your words? And if... you're one of those who, for whatever reason, doesn't feel that way about it, I would love to have that conversation with you too as well. Apparently, we already had the first person who tweeted about it, not several ever others since, but tweeted back, thought it was a bleeping joke. And Rob DeSantis, I'm not sure why you think that way, but I feel bad for you that you feel that way about it. You think that the photo is a joke, and that's unfortunate. But there are many more out there who understand the significance of it, who completely see the special meaning of what that stands for. And I'd love to have that conversation with you. So we have the meaning behind Julie Ertz kneeling in solidarity, in unity, hugging her teammate, because others kneeled. Other players kneeled. The entire North Carolina Courage team, I think their opponents also, they all took a knee. But the photo of Julie hugging, crying with, praying with Casey Short, it's a beautiful one. It's an iconic one, instant classic, and I think it'll be forever remembered that way. Tell me why you think it's so beautiful. Give me other iconic, but only one. Give me your best one. Don't give me three of them like our first caller did, who took two of the greatest ever and another good one off the board. Give me your best one. And also, how do you feel about the Phillies over under 31.5 wins? I go over. We can talk Phillies. I'll tell you what I saw during the 2 weeks that I spent at spring training before they shut down. I'll give you some reason for optimism. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with you till 8 p.m. tonight on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, 610-632-0975. I got some good responses to this classic, iconic sports images on Twitter, but I don't want to give them out. I want to hear them from callers, but there have been several good responses on Twitter. And you can reach us at 97.5 The Fanatic and at Rob Motti. Several good ones. Love that one from Jonathan Pino. That's a good one. He tweeted at me two of them. Those are both terrific ones. But the photo of Julie Ertz and Casey Short yesterday an emotional photo. Credit to AP photographer Rick Baumer for taking this at the women's tournament, soccer tournament in Utah, as they're kneeling during the national anthem, and Julie's got her arm around Casey and she's hugging her and they're crying. Jasper Lucas tweets at me, and Jasper's a good fan of the show, and he gets it. He tweets, the video's even more touching because you can see the tears just dripping from Julie Ertz's and Casey Short's eyes, and it moved him to tears. Yeah, because the photo is an instant classic, and the video is phenomenal because you can see them crying. You can see what appears to me, Julie, is it looks like she's praying at some point. So it's just a beautiful moment. I'd love to hear from you what makes this moment so special in your view, in your eyes. Why is this moment such a special one that I deem it an instant classic and will forever remember it as one of the great sports images? And what are some of the iconic sports images? So far, we've had three, all from one caller. Kawhi's shot, but not the shot. It's him crouching in the corner with Joel watching, both watching, anticipating, and the look on their faces because they don't know is that ball's going to bounce four times, the quadruple bounce before it goes in. That's a great one. One of the all-time incredible photos of Ali standing over Sonny Liston during after his first round knockout of a heavyweight championship boxing match in the 60s. And the other one of Tommy Smith and John Carlos standing there with gloves on their hand during the Star Spangled Banner, head down, raising their fist for the Black Power salute during the Olympics before receiving the gold and the bronze. There are certainly other photos that are iconic, so I'd love to hear from you some of those over the course of the show. 610-632-0975. Also want to get your thoughts on the Phillies and how many wins you think they can have if they in fact play the 60-game season. I will take the over. I told you that I saw some reason for optimism there. And now you get a DH, so that'll give an opportunity for Alec Bohm to get some at-bats, Jay Bruce to get some at-bats. That'll be helpful for the Phillies. You have a decent lineup. They still hadn't settled on a fifth starter yet, whether it would be Ranger Suarez, Vince Velasquez, or Nick Pivetta. Their bullpen is still and always will be a question mark. But they have some Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. Nola's the one, Wheeler is the two. I thought Jake Arrieta looked like a different guy in spring training. He seems rejuvenated a little bit with Brian Price in there as the pitching coach. There's a possibility that maybe Jake Arrieta, I don't expect him to go back to his Cy Young type season that he had a few years ago with the Cubs, but maybe he could be a little bit more consistent and go deeper into games than he did the first two seasons with the Phillies after receiving that three-year, $75 million contract. And if that's the case, that should certainly help the team. Zach Eflin had some good moments last year, some highs. So there's hope that with Brian Price, all of the guys, everyone on the pitching staff really enjoyed, everyone I talked to really enjoyed working with Brian Price, and I think he's going to be a significant upgrade, significant addition. Joe Girardi instantly commanded respect in that clubhouse. You got JT Realmuto, and you know, I heard a lot this week about, hey, JT Realmuto, he's got to be there. The first thing on Friday, the Phillies made a couple of transactions today. Drew Storen, Matt, I always have a hard time saying his last name, Scherzer, the outfielder, were released. But as soon as you can sign JT, people want to, they're going to give JT Realmuto. I completely believe the Phillies are going to give JT Realmuto a contract. They're not going to let JT Realmuto walk after this season. They'll find a way to come to an agreement. So I don't think that that's going to be a problem that's going to be hanging over. It may hang over their heads for a while, and with no fans in the stands and all of that stuff, it could affect how much they're willing to go. $23 million for 4 to 6 years. You know, but it's Matt Caesar, by the way. Caesar. He was released today along with Drew Storen, Villanova product. They'll get the JT Realmuto done. I would be absolutely shocked if they don't get JT Realmuto signed. So we can take a step back, relax on that. But I think there's reason for this team to win 32, 33, 34 games. A shortened season will help this Phillies team. You've seen them the last 2 years get out to good starts. They had trouble closing, tremendous problems finishing the last 2 seasons. But I think that this is a team that can stay competitive certainly over the course of 60. And all of it's going to depend on health. It's going to depend on the virus, if they even get the season kicked off and can finish it. But given what I know of the team, what I saw in a short amount of time at spring training before they closed down and everything shut down, they got some talent. They have some talent. They have some holes for sure. They have some flaws for sure. But I feel like this is a team that can stay in it and be competitive over the course of a shortened 60-game season. So we'll see if they can kick it off. But I'd love to hear what you think of the Phillies. If you go over or under, if you're pessimistic, why? Why would you say so? I got them over 31.5 wins, 610-632-0975. So we have that to talk about, Phillies over under, why you would be optimistic or pessimistic that they can or can't have a winning season. The Julie Ertz, Casey Short photo is a significant one. It's a beautiful moment. Tell me why you think so and give me some other iconic sports images that you've seen throughout your lifetime, those that just stand out for you. I gave you mine, the Willie Mays over-the-shoulder catch in a 1954 World Series, and then he turns around and throws the runner out. That photo, there's another old-time baseball photo that is, I also have a black and white of, and it's not hanging in my office, but it's a very memorable one. I'm not going to give that out either, but it is of a moment in time that represents a player who is a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, and will forever be remembered. Maybe not for what he did on the field, but maybe more so, I would say definitely more so for what ended his career, and that's an iconic sports photo. So if you have one, I'd love to hear it from you. Had several shared already on social media, some good ones. And I don't want to give those out, but there's certainly some good ones. I mentioned earlier a little bit about staying in my lane. And I want to put this out there because I think we can have some fun with it over the course of the next 3 hours, plus 3+ hours. So I find myself, Josh, I don't know about you, and I don't know why, but I find myself far too involved around the house with things that I have no reason to be bothered with. And one is like decorative pillows. I always like feel that they should be a certain way. First of all, the tag on the decorative pillow should always be on the bottom. So if I see the tag facing any way other than on the bottom, I will move the pillow. I will arrange them a certain way.
Your OCD kicks in.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, right? The thing that I did today, though, so I came downstairs and my wife's got a section, like she's got some towels for when the girls go in the pool or when we go in the pool. So as soon as we come back to the deck, we can open the door, grab the towels. We can go out. You know, we don't have to come in the house and wet the house. So she's got all these towels set up and she had a couple other things set up in the corner of the room. And there was one of these trees, like a plant, a fake one sitting there. It's decoration. And I thought it's too cluttered in that area. So I decided to move the tree completely out of that area into the dining room. Now, my wife will always tell me, stay in your lane. Don't touch my decorations. Don't touch anything around the house. That's not your lane. Stay in your lane. And we have a good time with it. Sometimes I'll move some, like I'll move something around. And I did this morning and I couldn't just shut up about it. She wakes up, she comes downstairs for breakfast, and I couldn't just let her notice on her own. I just start giggling. I started giggling like a little kid, like a little schoolgirl in second grade. And she's like, "What are you laughing about?" I'm like, "Oh, I did something and you haven't noticed it yet." She's like, "I just walked down here. What is it?" And I'm like, "No, well, you haven't noticed it." I couldn't wait and I had to show her what I did. And for once, she approved of my decoration shifting. She said, "Stay in your lane. Don't do this again. Don't mess with my stuff. But I'm going to leave it as you changed it because, okay, I agree with you on this one." So I find myself constantly being involved in a battle between trying to stay in my lane and annoying or irritating my wife because I get myself involved in things that she wants me not, she wants, no, I should have nothing to do with. A lot of times it's got to do with the decorative pillows. Sometimes it's got to do with like candles around the house. I'll move them around, whatever it is. So I'm wondering what is it that you don't stay in your lane over? Because I'm sure every couple has this back and forth. So if you're a guy, what is it that you do that irritates your wife or your spouse, your girlfriend, your significant other? And if you're a lady listening and would like to chime in and let us know, what is it that your significant other, your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance, what he does that irritates you, that tells you you want to tell him to stay in his lane? I'd love to hear some of those too over the course of the show. So Josh, if there's anything that you find yourself far too involved with, I want you to hold on to it and tell me when we come back. 610-632-0975. So we'll add that to the conversation. The Julie Ertz photo with Casey Short. Why is it so special, so significant? Other iconic sports images that you've seen throughout your lifetime. And give me your over under for Philly's win. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.446, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti here with you till 8 p.m. 610-632-0975. This photo of Julie Ertz and Casey Short, well, it's got a few people showing their ugly side on social media, and that's unfortunate. I feel bad for those who have so much hate in their heart. Like this one particular person who's tweeting, and his name's out there. Like, why do you? If you can't understand the purpose and the need and put yourself in someone else's shoes, man, that's a lot of hate. Like when you have so much hate in your heart, that is no way to live life. It's really not. It's not a good way to live your life. It is so much easier and more rewarding and more fruitful and more peaceful to live with love. Like when you live with love for other people, when you have compassion and understanding and appreciation, it's just such a better way to live life. And it's difficult at times because you feel you're so compassionate, you care so much about others that when they're going through something, you want to help them and you feel in some cases hopeless and helpless. But we all have to do our part. And I just don't understand. Like I'll never understand having hate-filled hearts. It's something that it saddens me, man. It saddens me. 610-632-0975. You want to get in on a conversation about the photo, what makes it special, other iconic sports images that you've seen, over under totals for the Phillies. I got them at over 31.5. I'll take them easily over 31.5. If it was 32.5, I would go over, because I'd make the 32 to 34 win range. So I would go 33. I would feel comfortable 32.5. I feel like, but there is so much uncertainty with this season, and there's so much uncertainty with sports, of course, obviously, over the course of the next couple weeks. We really don't know what's going to develop. And I expressed my skepticism yesterday, and I don't want to get into that, why I think with all the numbers and everything skyrocketing, I want to have a virus-free show. So I'm assuming I'm going to discuss the Phillies today as if they're going to play. As if they go out there. And I know it's a tougher schedule, because you're going to play all the teams in your division, and the Marlins, who are the worst team in the division, gave the Phillies fits. And then you're also playing the AL East, so you got to face the Yankees, you got to face the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Orioles are an easier opponent, or so you would think. But the Phillies have often played down to their opponent. But I'll take the over, and I told you some of the reasons I have to be positive about this team. I think it is a significant addition to have Brian Price as the pitching coach. And I think the impact that he's going to have on this pitching staff, and in what I saw in a short amount of time in spring training, is such that it's going to, if he can impact one of those three, Eflin, Velasquez, and Pivetta, in such a positive way that he can actually get one of those three to pitch to their potential, that's big. And if one or two of the other guys can take a step forward, that's going to be big. I feel like Nola, assuming he stays healthy, is going to look more like the guy who was third in Cy Young Award voting 2 years ago than the more inconsistent pitcher last year. Zach Wheeler still got a lot of upside. Still has some upside. The Phillies paid him to be better than he has been. And I feel like Jake Arrieta is rejuvenated somewhat and might have a surprisingly good season. So those are reasons why I'm optimistic about the Phillies. I like the offense. I think that Bryce Harper can still go to another level. Gene Segura settling in at third base, Kingery at second, Didi Gregorius at short. Rhys Hoskins was making improvements and changed his stance, felt better at the plate. You got a pretty good infield. Alec Bohm and Jay Bruce at the DH spot. McCutchen in left, Adam Haseley in center. Maybe Roman Quinn gets some at-bats in center if he stays healthy. The offense got potential. They have potential to be a pretty good run-producing offense. And that's why I think this team can win 32 to 34 games and stay competitive and be over the over that we see. So 610-632-0975, the over-under is 31.5. We're having some fun too today. I told you I can't stay in my lane. I can't stay in my lane at home. I'm far too obsessed with decorative pillows and dumb things that I really shouldn't obsess over. My wife's constantly telling me to stay in my lane. So if that's a problem for you in your household, what is it that irritates your significant other? Josh, did you come up with something that you find yourself going, well, what am I doing? Why am I thinking of this? Why am I wasting energy? Or why am I getting up? Like, I'll get up. This is another weird one. I will get up off the couch if I see a picture frame crooked. I'll get up. And then I go, why? Why did I have to, like, why couldn't I wait? It's just that it's somewhat of an OCD, huh?
Yeah, it's something like that. My guilty, I guess I'll call it pleasure. It's not really, but it's watching a television show of someone else's that you don't like. and we know what happens. That's when the commentary starts to come in. Now, right now, I don't have a girlfriend or anything like that. Okay. So, like, let's say when I walk in and my mom's watching General Hospital, I'll make a comment. It looks like Sonny and Jason are having the same exact conversation in the same room that they were in last Tuesday.
20 years later, they're still having that same conversation.
But I'm a complete hypocrite because I won't want somebody sitting there when I'm watching WWE when two guys are arguing fully clothed and they're like, I'll meet you in here in an hour when I strip down to my tights and put baby oil on and we'll have at it.
One day, you know what? We might have to do our top 10 all-time wrestling interviews.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
You know, maybe we'll do that later on in the show. All right?
I'm down for that.
Our favorite interview, guys. 610-632-0975. So if there's something you do around the house that irritates your wife or husband, that you don't stay in your lane, I want to hear from you on that. You're over, under. What do you think of the over-under for the Phillies wins? And I want to get some conversation. The conversation about the Julie Ertz, Casey Short photo on social media has been buzzing. So let's have that conversation on the air. I think it's an instant classic of a photo. It's an iconic photo. And I want to hear why you feel that it's so special. Because I told you why I think it's such a significant, special moment, what it represents. And also some of the other iconic photos in sports. We've had three good ones already shared. I gave you one. There's so many others. I'd love to hear those from you too. 610-632-0975. Drew, hang on. I'll get to you next. You can join the show after Drew. We got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm Rob Motti, 610-632-0975. Give us a call. Josh Rabick will be answering the phone. You'll be hearing from him throughout the course of the next 3 hours. We'll be here with you having some fun this afternoon, a bunch of topics that we're discussing. But let's get to Drew in Westchester. Nice enough to hang on during the break, and he's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, Rob? How are you today, buddy?
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, man. So I was on Twitter and saw the tweet about the topics, Phillies, and the iconic image. So I thought I'd give a buzz in and give my thoughts.
Yes, sir. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
All right. So about the Phillies, I kind of agree with you. I don't see much more than a 30-31 game win season, really. I think they're going to be right there about 500%, around 50, 500%. So
I'm more optimistic than you. I'm at 30. I'm like 32 to 34.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I think they go over. I think they go over the 31 and a half.
Oh, you think they do? I think it's going to be real close. I would go, I think I'd say under.
Wow,
right now,
you would go the under. Okay.
Yeah, but it's going to be close. That's definitely a good pick. And as far as iconic images, I'll never get this one out of my head, and that would be in 1980, the Mike Grigioni, when he scored the goal to go up 4-3, and he did that little, step-in or jump-in or whatever he did when he scored that goal, And
yeah, his little celebration. Yep.
Yeah, just I'll never forget that, and it was just such a iconic moment, too, to take the lead over the USSR at that point, so... That was what I had on my image.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. What'd you think of the Julie Ertz photo that we put out there, that we tweeted out there? Julie and Casey Short, the emotional moment.
I didn't know if that was after a win or after a loss. It looked like they were consoling.
This was yesterday. It was yesterday before the game. Yeah, it was yesterday before the game during the national anthem. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I mean, it seemed like they were very emotional, so I'm completely cool with it. I mean, definitely it's a statement was made by the one girl, I guess, who was kneeling, and the others all had their, she had a hand over her heart, so that was cool and all. And, it just seemed like it was emotional that they were getting back to playing, I guess. That was really, it was the first game playing.
Yeah. Well, I think the emotion was more for the unity and the support for Black Lives Matter and what Casey and others go through and what they've been going through. So it's just, it was to me, it was such a beautiful moment of what's happening in our country. So it's nice to see, and they all handled it so well. They really did.
Now it's a good solidarity type thing, man. So it's good. We need to see more of that in this world.
Absolutely, man. Hey, Drew, appreciate it as always.
All right, buddy.
Take care. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in to join the conversation. I saw Joel Embiid trending, and I'm like, oh no, what did he do? But it's the whole thing with Greg Oden being drafted 13 years ago today. I know they talked about that earlier. 13 years ago today, Greg Oden was drafted number one. Kevin Durant went number two, and they went on to have different types of careers. Oden obviously didn't have the healthy knees, but yeah, Joe's trending today, but it's nothing negative, nothing bad. It's all he's just out there, and people are using Joel. Yeah, they're tweeting about Joel Embiid, so it's nothing terrible, nothing like that. 610-632-0975 is the number. I just reached out, Josh, and maybe we'll get Julie on the show if she's got time. I guess she's in, that tournament's in Utah, so if she's got time, maybe we can get her on before we get out of here. So I just reached out, we'll see. But I thought it was a beautiful moment yesterday, and it's an iconic one. And the sports images that we've received already, Kawhi, the crouching in the corner, waiting for the four bounces to see what happens, Joel watching from the side. Unfortunately for Sixers fans, that shot went in and the Sixers were eliminated. Ali Liston standing over Sonny Liston. That's an incredible one. Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the Black Power salute. That's an iconic one. And Drew just gave us Mike Ruzioni's celebration after scoring the go-ahead goal. That's an incredible one. I'm getting really good ones on Twitter. I don't want to give them all out over the air. Maybe I will at some point, but there's some really good ones that are coming in. Iconic sports images. I gave you Willie Mays over the shoulder catch. There was another one that I mentioned earlier. I'll give you another hint. You think you know which one I'm talking about? The baseball player who's a Hall of Famer, but he's known more for why he retired than what he did on the field. And it's just it's a black and white photo, an old photo. There was a speech that went along with it too. I just saw you now. I think you know which one it is, but I'll let it ride. I won't give out that one, but it's an iconic image. I don't know when it was, 40s, 50s, somewhere around there, but it's a long time ago. So we got those. I want to hear from somebody who doesn't stay in his lane, or a woman who doesn't stay in her lane according to their significant other, because my wife is constantly telling me to stay in my lane. Here's another thing that I do besides decorative pillows that I'm obsessed with, and candles that I'm obsessed with, and today rearranging little house decorations and whatnot. The soap dispensers. I don't know what it is about soap dispensers in a bathroom or in a kitchen that I'm always looking to change those up. And my wife is like, what's wrong with the ones we have? And like, I'll be in a store. I was earlier this week, and I took a photo and I sent it to her, and she just responded, no. And I come home, she's like, why? Why do you need to change? I don't know what it is about soap dispensers that I'm constantly looking at going, all right, I'm bored with this one. I want to change the soap dispenser. Again, according to her, I don't stay in my lane. So if you got any fun stuff like that that you guys go through at home, I'd love to hear those. Also, we're talking Phillies. I really think this team can win 32-34. That's not asking a ton. 32-34 games. It's not really asking them to. It might not even get them in the playoffs with the Nationals and the Mets in this division. But I think they got a shot to really stay competitive. I think they really can stay competitive, and they really have an opportunity to be in it. assuming, of course, they play their 60 games in 66 days, and they're going to have various guys that they can use as DHs, which will help them. Primarily, Jay Bruce figures to be their DH against right-handed pitchers. They may use Alec Bohm in there. They may also give JT Realmuto a rest occasionally and let him DH. Bryce Harper will get some rest. He'll DH. McCutcheon, Rhys Hoskins, however they want to do it. But they have a lineup that could produce some runs, so I'm optimistic that this team can score some runs, and I feel like the pitching staff is going to benefit from Brian Price. That the hitting, the offense is going to benefit from, one, just having new voices to listen to. Having new voices in the dugout. Now, I know Charlie Manuel came back last year, but that was still under the old regime. And now you have Joe Dillon as the hitting coach, and Pedro Guerrero is still there as the assistant hitting coach, but I think Joe Dillon's going to also be an upgrade for this team. Rhys Hoskins made some changes to his stance in spring training, and even though it wasn't reflective in hits at some point, say he was feeling more and more comfortable, and it's all about getting comfortable. Now, when you play a 60-game season, it's going to take. Like you have to get out to a good start, and you can't really go through stretches where you go through a 2-9 or a 3-11, because that can bury the team, and they can't have that. And I think they're equipped to be able to handle it. And Joe Girardi's not going to allow this team to collapse, and he's not going to allow this team to really play underachieve. They got some talent. He may get more out of them, but I don't think they will underachieve with Joe Girardi in that clubhouse and in that dugout. Now, obviously, it's going to look different. They're going to have everything's going to look different about this season, no doubt. For sure, it's going to look different, and we'll see. Hopefully, they can make this happen. Hopefully, they can kick this off. So I want to hear your thoughts on where do you think the Phillies can finish, and how many wins do you think they can have? I see them in the 32 to 34 win zone, 610-632-0975. Another thing I wanted to bring up today, it is the 60th birthday. I'm going to give you three guesses, Josh. Today is the 60th birthday of one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, who I feel may be a little underrated. Do you know who that is? 60th birthday, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, who may be a tad underrated. You have a guess?
Give me a sec.
You want to think about it? All right, I'll give you. He's someone who eventually did what he did win a Super Bowl after losing. Oh, now I'm going to give away all the guesses. It's going to make it a whole lot easier. But he lost some Super Bowls. He finally had to validate his Hall of Fame career by winning a Super Bowl after losing, was it three in a row? Yeah, not three in a row, but it was three. They lost three Super Bowls. At least two. May have lost three. But they won two. And well, I can't believe he's 60 years old today. 60 years old. One of the greatest quarterbacks. I guess I can't say he was underrated if he did finish when the NFL Network and the NFL did their top 100 of all time last year to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. He did finish in the top 10. They listed him in the top 10 quarterbacks. So I guess I can't say he's underrated, but I just feel like he doesn't get mentioned in the conversation. When we talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, talk about Brady, talk about Joe Montana, Peyton Manning's mentioned, and of course, I don't know anything about seeing. I never watched Otto Graham or Sammy Ball. They're on the list. I kind of feel like he belongs. He's not the greatest of all time, but he belongs in the conversation somewhere. You ought to mention him. You can't just completely ignore him. I would put him closer to the top five than the bottom of the top 10. And You got a guess for me? You're still thinking about this one?
Okay, you said he got a Super Bowl at the end?
Yeah. Couple of them.
Couple of them at the end. It's John Elway then.
Yes. He nailed it.
I had to think there. The couple at the end is what kind of did it then.
Couple at the end. He actually retired after that too. But John Elway. And John Elway for me, 60 years old today. Like I go, wow. I remember watching him play growing up and watching him play as a kid. Like he was always one of the I love the fact that he had a rifle arm. He had a cannon of an arm, but he also can get away. He can escape. He can run a little bit. He was mobile for a guy who could throw that well. He was mobile. What was the most he ever had yards rushing? The most he ever had was 304. But I'll never forget when he dove at the goal line and he did that like 360. So he had He had 3 years of four rushing touchdowns. He had 1 year where he had six. He had a nose for the end zone. I'm sure some of those were quarterback sneaks, but he had 33 rushing touchdowns. But he was a guy I loved to watch play. I loved watching John Elway play as a kid, and it made me think of, like, who were some of the guys who were not Philadelphia athletes or depending on who you rooted for, even if you're in the area now or you're listening to the show, but you're not a Philly sports fan, but you're a fan of whichever team, who were some of the athletes that you grew up, not now, but that you grew up watching that you were a fan of, even though they weren't on your favorite team? It could be any sport. And for me, Elway was one of those guys. Marino was one of those guys. Montana was one of those guys. In baseball, Don Mattingly was one of those guys. I loved watching Don Mattingly play.
It's crazy you asked that question. During that time, I came up with one for every one of the major four sports. It just sticks out that quickly.
Dude, that quickly?
100%.
Give me your baseball guy.
Baseball guy, Ken Griffey Jr. He was the most marketable home run hitter during the 90s.
And such a, oh man, when we talk about that swing, that sweet swing.
Oh yeah, and the home run derby, the backwards hat. Yep. As a kid, you're wearing the backwards hat. You can relate to him.
Yeah, love that. Who's your football guy?
My football guy was Peyton Manning. And it was because I could watch him with my eyes and I could say, I appreciate the degree of difficulty of what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the things people will say, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, great route runners, but they're running a lot of stuff outside the numbers, the timing that was required. Considering Peyton Manning didn't have a John Elway-like arm.
Yeah.
So the timing was so important, and I saw the repetition, and that came through with the tape as well. So definitely Peyton Manning in there.
All right. For me, baseball was Don Mattingly. Football was, as much as it's Elway in the conversation today, I'd have to go overall, I'd have to go Marino. Not Montana, even though I wanted to name my daughter Montana. It was Marino. As a kid, it was Marino. My hockey guy was Gretzky. Who's your hockey?
My hockey guy was Mike Modano at the time. Yeah, it was something that just drew me to Mike Modano, and I really couldn't describe it, but there were a lot of guys like Steve Yzerman and, you know, Joe Sakic, that kind of were those big guys in the Western Conference that you felt okay rooting for them as a Flyers fan.
How about your NBA guy?
It had to be Michael Jordan.
Had to be Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, that was also at the time where all of us had like a Bulls locker. Like you just were obsessed with Michael Jordan. And there wasn't a lot going on because you're between the Charles Barkley and Allen Iverson era.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy for me. It wasn't Jordan. My NBA guy, like, I loved Barkley. I loved the power forwards. So I will go Karl Malone was a guy, like, I had a tremendous amount of respect for the way he played, and I really enjoyed watching his game. I was kind of like the kid who, like, if everybody was on somebody, I was like, you all like him, so I want to find somebody else to like. And that's the way I was with Jordan. And I for that reason, I think I didn't really fully appreciate Jordan's career because I don't know. I love the guys who played like Barkley, the guys who played like Karl Malone. I like that position. And remember back then, I'm a little older than you. I'm a decade at least older than you. So in the late 80s, early 90s, it was a different game. The NBA was a different game. And those guys, the center position, the power forward position was different. I enjoyed watching guys like Olajuwon, too. So who were some of the, we'll add that to the conversation this afternoon. Who were some of the guys that you grew up watching, that you loved to watch, that you rooted for, that you would, whatever you had an opportunity to on TV, you would watch them play, who didn't play for your favorite team? Growing up, had to be outside the city. So it couldn't be a guy who played if it's your favorite team. It can't be a guy who was traded either from your favorite team, went somewhere else, and you continued. Like, it can't be Reggie White because, yeah, I know he had a tremendous career with the Green Bay Packers, and Charles Barkley with the Phoenix Suns. Another guy I liked was Penny Hardaway. I don't know. Penny Hardaway. I loved watching Penny Hardaway.
It's funny you say that. As a kid,
right?
So many kids had Penny Hardaway jerseys.
Yeah, I loved watching Penny Hardaway. I enjoyed watching him play, too. So those were some of mine. 610-632-0975. I'd love to hear some of yours. We got a lot for you today that you could join a conversation and discuss. John in Maple Shade, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, man. Yeah, I had three players that I loved growing up, and I would say the biggest one for me was Vince Carter.
Vince Carter, okay.
Went to the All-Star game when it was in Philly, and my dad took me, and he got me Vince Carter jersey at the the play thing. So I've always followed him my whole career, and in football, for some reason, I was always a big fan of Brian Urlacher.
Oh, yeah. The way he played the position was like the old days, right?
Yeah, he was biggest guy, and he did have him play no matter what. And then I would say for hockey, even though he was on the Flyers, I would say Mark Recchi, because no matter where he went, I loved how he always played the game.
Yeah. Mark Recchi was, and he was here, he left, he came back, and he was definitely one of those guys. Those are some good ones, John. I was also talking today about some of the iconic sports images of your life. Like, is there a sports photo that sticks out to you that's like an iconic sports image of your lifetime that you remember?
I would say, when you said that, it come to mind, I would say Vince Carter in the Olympics jumping over that 7'6" guy.
Oh, man. I gotta check that one out again. Vince Carter. Well, of course, for you, it's going to be Carter, who, by the way, officially, I guess, retired this past week because he's not going to be playing in Orlando. But those are some good ones, John.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one. Yeah, 43 years old. Vince Carter made his retirement official by announcing on his podcast Thursday that 22-year NBA career came to an end. Wow.
There was a consistent theme with a couple of his athletes there. Mark Recchi, Vince Carter, guys who, you know, kept playing at a pretty high level late
in there, who were older guys. Yeah. I remember Carter. I covered the Sixers when he missed that Game 7 shot to send, so that was against Toronto in the Eastern Conference semis, and that sent them to the Eastern Conference finals. But that day he graduated college, so he was at his graduation, then flew to Philly on the same day to play Game 7. Just an incredible career. 19th most points in NBA history, 25,728. So we'll have some fun with this too over the course of the show today. Some of the athletes that you grew up rooting for or enjoyed watching play who are outside of your favorite teams. And we're doing that because it's John Elway's 60th birthday today. And for me, John Elway was certainly one of those guys. I loved watching Elway, his rocket arm, his rifle arm, the way John Elway could scramble around, the way he would just get knocked around, that 360 near the goal line. That was his clutch performances, bringing his team back, and then finally solidifying his Hall of Fame career. So we'll talk about that too as well. You're over under on the Phillies. What do you think of this Phillies team? Are you as optimistic as I am? If you consider 32 to 34 wins optimistic, for me it is. I think they'll be over the 31.5. I gave you some reasons why I feel this team's going to be pretty decent and should be able to be competitive. Although they're in a tough division, I don't know that they'll make the playoffs, but I think they'll be very competitive and over 500. And if you have any thoughts on the Julie Ertz, Casey Short photo, that iconic photo instant classic yesterday that I think is going to be remembered for years to come? What makes it so special in your eyes, and what are some of the iconic photos in sports? I'll tell you mine, the baseball one, the player who was, even though he had a Hall of Fame career, he'll be forever remembered more for why he retired than for what he did on the field. I'll give you that one, too, when we come back. 610-632-0975. Got open lines for you to join the conversation. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm Rob Motti, 610-632-0975. Having a fun Sunday afternoon with you if you're driving home from the shore. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're not stuck in traffic, but I'm sure that at some places and some points, there's always traffic somewhere out there. But if you're stuck in traffic, hopefully we can make your ride home a little bit more enjoyable, a little bit more entertaining. We got a lot on the table, and we will get to it. But first, I want to bring Josh and Manny Unk. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Josh?
Rob, great topic. So I was listening to a couple guys like with the 60 games. Do I like 34? I love 34. Do I love it to be 36? I just think it's going to come down to the bullpen arms, because
yeah,
I don't know how much these – I mean – whether Wheeler is going to be effective or his mind might be elsewhere, which I don't blame him because he's got a baby on the way. And how effective, I mean,
if he even decides to play, because we still don't have confirmation of that.
Exactly. I mean, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not exactly thrilled with what Klintak's done. If they win 25 games, I'll buy a ticket out of here. You know, I think he's done a terrible job as a whole over the last couple of years. But yeah, I really worry about that. I think the bullpen is going to be the biggest case. And what is in the bullpen? Tommy Hunter, obviously. Dave Robbins is not back. Naris, we have Naris, but Anthony's not playing. You know, it's still a lot of very murky waters in the bullpen.
Adam Morgan, Hector Naris, and Jose Alvarez, Tommy Hunter, and Victor Arano, they're probably the ones who we know are going to be healthy. We assume are healthy and will be on the opening day roster. And then you got a bunch of other guys from, they just cut Drew Storen, so Bud Norris might be a guy. They have a whole lot of arms, but they don't have guys who you would feel comfortable with game on the line. You got to develop some of these guys. So they might have to turn to some of their younger guys, some of the younger arms, some of the guys that were in the minors who they thought maybe they could wait on a little bit. And they might, especially since there's no minor league season, they might have to turn to some of the younger guys too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be real interesting with regard to that. The two guys I, you know, loved, and only, you know, when we were younger, Gretzky played out on the West Coast. So you rarely saw him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Or the Rangers. It was unbelievable. And then the other guy was Barry Sanders. I think Barry Sanders was just incredible.
That's a great one. He was so much fun to watch. And you knew you were going to see Barry Sanders at least once a year on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And you look forward to it. It was like, all right, Barry's on. You know the teams. But, the last thing, the image,
yeah,
of Brandi Chastain taking off her shirt after she hit the shot. It was like, what did she just do? You know, we want to go to the World Cup.
Somebody gave me that on Twitter. I was waiting for that. But that is definitely an iconic image. Yes, Brandi Chastain celebrating the goal, no shirt, down on her knees, right? She just did this little slide. That's certainly one that we won't forget. That's a good one, Josh.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Brandi Chastain, I'll add that one to the list. We got Ali standing over Sonny Liston. We got Tommy Smith and John Carlos with the Black Power salute. Mike Arruzioni's celebration. The first one was Kawhi. I gave you the Willie Mays over-the-shoulder catch. I will give you the other iconic image from I'm going to find the exact date for it, but first let me get to Jermaine in Germantown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jermaine?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
How are you, bud?
I'm doing all right. I was calling in about my players that I love that's not from
our
area, and Grant Hill.
Grant Hill. Okay.
All-time favorite. He's so much my favorite basketball player. I saw a kid today with his Felis on, the 95. And I asked him where to get it, and I searched the whole town until I found it. I got him on my feet right now.
No way. You saw this today and you found it and got him today?
Yep, went and got him today out of Jimmy Jazz and put him right on my feet with a red shirt to match.
Wow, Felis, huh?
Yep.
Man, I wonder if Grant Hill was like, I can't remember if he was the first NBA star to have a deal, an endorsement deal with Fila. I don't know. Can you remember that far? I don't remember.
He was the first, and then number two was Jerry Stackhouse right behind him.
Oh, yeah, Stackhouse. Man, I wish Grant Hill was able to stay healthy and you could have really seen.
You know, I still, until today, even though I love the Sixers, but until today, I'm still mad with the Detroit staff in 97-98 season when they brought him back to play against Atlanta and messed it up. He wasn't even fully healed and just tore his Achilles up. I think it was his ankle. His ankle. Tore his ankle up, and that's been the end of my favorite player.
Man, he lasted in the NBA for a bunch of years. Grant Hill played until he was 40, but he missed one season, another season he only played 4 games, another one he only played 14. He ended up, I don't even remember this, in 08, 09, and 09, and 2009, 2010, he played 82, 81, and 80 games for Phoenix, 3 years in a row.
I remember that. And then he ended up with the Clippers.
The Clippers, yep, his final season.
Also, another player, one more, is Jerome Bettis.
You love the bus?
Because his running style, it's like he had quick feet.
Yeah.
He'll give it to you quick, and then at any instance, he'll bowl you over.
I had him on my show at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. I was doing a podcast, and he was just so much fun to talk to, man. And like, he had so much energy when he played. He still got that same kind of energy. He was he was so much fun to talk to. So, yeah, that's a good one, Jermaine.
I went to high school with his cousin here in Philly. We went to Fells High together.
Oh, yeah? Reese,
and I always asked him, like, yo, when you going to let me meet your cousin, man?
Good stuff, man. Hey, I appreciate the call.
Not a problem, man. You have a wonderful day, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jermaine. Have a great one. 610-632-0975. The bus. Got some good ones. The bus. Got Barry Sanders, Grant Hill. Josh gave me his 4. I gave you mine. Athletes that you grew up rooting for or loved to watch. Guys that you loved to watch no matter if they were against your favorite team or not. You would go out of your way to make sure you watched them. And like when I grew up, games weren't on the way they are now. So like I love to see Gretzky play, but I couldn't see him a lot. Couldn't see. He's out on the West Coast, and you'd have to wait and hope that you get to see maybe a game or 2 or 3 a year, and maybe some of the postseason, some of the playoffs. A guy like Barry Sanders, we knew you'd see him on Thanksgiving, but we didn't know when else we could see him. I think the Lions made the playoffs a couple times. I remember them making the playoffs against the Eagles, and that was the 56 Eagles with Rodney Peete scored like 56 points. I was at that game in a 700 level. Freezing. But they scored a whole lot of points, and that was a fun game to be at. Then the following week, they go to Dallas, and Peete gets hurt. Randall comes in the game. He was a backup at that time, and the Eagles lose that game at Dallas, end their season. Ryan in Maple Shade, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, man?
How are you, buddy?
Good. So I got a couple. Talking about Barry Sanders, I love Barry Sanders, but I'm an Eagles fan, and even with the Lions, when just watching Calvin Johnson play when he really had nothing, just, man, I would have killed for him to be an Eagle.
Calvin Johnson?
Calvin Johnson, yeah.
Oh, man. What a great a guy who also, like Barry Sanders, retired too young, right?
It's that because of that team. I just think that franchise wasn't really giving him anything. He looked at his health over his chances of winning. But a hockey one, this might strike people the wrong way because I'm a Flyers fan, but man, Mark Messier growing up, the way he had that slot, he had that Philly style where he was playing with Gretzky. He was just he was a hitter. He would do whatever it took to win. He wasn't the the cleanest guy out there, but man, and what he was able to do with that Rangers team. I mean, people forget Gretzky won zero titles without Messier. Messier won two without him.
He's a great one because you're right, Ryan. Mark Messier is, we talk a lot about like guys who fit into the Philly like mentality. He would have been absolutely revered here.
That was Lindros's like idol. You always talked about him. It was just the style. It was a dirty style, but you know what? It got wins, and that's all that matters.
Now, I enjoyed watching a lot of those guys on that, like Yari Curry from the Edmonton Oilers teams back on Gretzky's line with that shot. He was fun to watch too, but I hardly ever had a chance to see them except when they played the Flyers in the Cup Finals.
Yeah, and Hextall won the MVP that year.
Incredible.
Yeah.
All right, man, good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call. 610-632-0975. That's a number to get in. We got on this topic halfway into the show, and it all stems from John Elway's 60th birthday today. And John Elway, for me, was one of he was just a guy I enjoyed watching play. I loved his style of play. I loved his rocket arm. I loved the fact that he would tuck the ball and run if he had to. He was tough. He had a nose for the end zone. I can't believe he's 60. He just makes me feel old right now. But I want to know some of your favorite players growing up who didn't play for the team that you rooted for. So that's one of the conversations, one of the topics that we have today that we're discussing. Also, some of the most iconic images in sports. Some of the images in sports, photos that were captured that are classic, iconic images. I believe the one last night taken by AP photographer, and I'm sure there were others, but the one I looked at was my colleague, Rick Bowser, the AP, taking a photo of Julie Ertz, the emotional moment with Casey Shore as they took a knee for the national anthem. But beyond that, they were hugging, they were crying. It looked like they were praying at some point, too, during that. It's a beautiful moment. It's the symbol of solidarity and what it stands for and who they are. I thought that moment is special. I'd love to hear from you why you think it is special, because I've seen so many people talk about it and share it on social media. And because of that, what are some of the most iconic images, iconic photos in sports? Now, I gave you Willie Mays as one that stood out to me, and I've been mentioning another black and white of a player, a Hall of Fame player, known more for why he retired than for what he did on the field. And I have this black and white image, and it's Lou Gehrig giving his speech July 4th, 1939. And when you got a disease that is named after you and isn't cured yet, the Lou Gehrig's disease, sadly, he retired from that. And that image of him giving that speech is, and of course, the speech itself. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth, which is incredible for him to say that. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth, which is, wow, for him to say that in that moment. But I'm looking at a photo of it right now, and that's incredible. So, iconic photos in sports, favorite players growing up who weren't on your favorite team. How many wins do you think the Phillies will have this season? I got them at the 32-34 win range. 610-632-0975. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Hope you're having a great weekend. Is the weekend, like the end of the weekend now, is there the same type of, I guess, like there's always a twinge of sadness because the weekend's over. If you work a Monday through Friday, I've never worked a Monday through Friday. And my hours have always been scattered as a sports writer. So I've never had a true, like, look forward to a Friday, dread the, not since school, not since high school have I had dread the look forward to the weekend and dread Monday. But now that so many people are working at home, is there a different feel for you about the end of the weekend? Like, if you're going to get up and work from home tomorrow, do you like it more? Like, are you enjoying working from home more? Or would you rather be back in the office, whatever office it is, whatever you do? Or do you feel like, oh, man, this is great to be working from home? And we'll add that to the conversation, too, along with everything else we're talking about. Some of your favorite athletes growing up. I only started this topic maybe a little bit ago, but I've already had some great choices. I mentioned that John Elway today turned 60, and he was a guy that I loved watching growing up. Even though I didn't root for the Broncos, I never had any rooting interest for the Broncos, and I had Eagles season tickets. I just love watching John Elway play. And so far I've had Jerome Bettis, Barry Sanders, Grant Hill, Calvin Johnson. So 610-632-0975. We can talk about that. Continue the conversation if you feel as optimistic as I am about the Phillies winning 32-34 games. Some of your iconic images, photos, and sports. There's some good ones that I've received on Twitter and on social media that no one has called in about yet. And some relating to Philly sports. There's a great one from 1980. There's a great one from, obviously, there's a couple from 1980, of course, and there's a couple others. There's some great iconic images, photos. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. 610-632-0975. Josh in Port Richmond, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Rob. Great show as always. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I wanted to talk about my four guys kind of growing up that weren't around here. It was, as I was thinking about the list, I realized something about myself that I actually appreciate defense more than I thought I did, I guess. So that was kind of cool. So football-wise, actually, Troy Polamalu.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, just the way he flew around the field, it was completely ridiculous. It was always endless entertainment.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had an opportunity to interview him this year at the Super Bowl after he was elected into the Hall of Fame. So he spoke to all the media. Then I waited. Then I had like a one-on-one with him. And he came for like as ferocious as a hitter as he was. He's a gentle speaker. Like it was the complete opposite of what I expected out of Troy Polamalu. And like every word that he said was like, it was almost like he was unsure of himself, like maybe he wasn't comfortable speaking. And I'm like, man, you're going in the Hall of Fame. You were such a hard, ferocious hitter. And he just seemed like somebody who maybe was a little shy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's totally opposite of what you would think, for sure.
Yeah.
And I also got Patrick Waugh.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, Patrick Waugh.
Goalies like that are just a rare breed in general.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Marty Brodeur, as bad as he hurt the Flyers over the years. Grant Fuhr from way back. But, yeah, Patrick Roy is one of the top three greatest goalies of all time.
And then for baseball, I had Randy Johnson, actually.
Randy Johnson. He was, man, yeah, he was... You know what I loved about him? He was so unpredictable because you didn't know where the ball was going. He could strike somebody out on any given pitch, or he could throw it behind him.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was just like the Diamondbacks just had those kind of like goofy colors, and it was just something about it. Always liked it as a kid, and he was ridiculous. And then the actual player actually was Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, okay.
Yeah, just always loved KG, just natural basketball player and just broached on both ends. So it's kind of made me think about it. I realized I like defense more than I thought I did. So thanks for bringing up the topic. I appreciate it, Rob.
All right, Josh. Have a good one, man. I appreciate it. I'll remember Kevin Garnett celebrating the championship. Just the sheer joy in his face when he finally got that title. That was an incredible moment. Certainly an incredible moment. So there's been some good ones. We've had a lot of good favorite players. All of these guys are some of the greatest. There were some players that I loved watching who weren't. All of these guys that have been picked today: Garnett, Randy Johnson, Patrick Roy, Troy Polamalu, Calvin Johnson, Grant Hill, Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis. If they're not Hall of Famers, they're superstars. I had some players that I enjoyed watching who weren't necessarily great players. And I'll give you some of those, too, over the course of the next couple hours. But let's hear from Fred in Philly. He's got an iconic sports image for us, and he's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Fred?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I remember back in the day, I was about, I'd say, 70, and my father was a big horse racing fan, and we watched the Belmont that Secretariat won by, 30-whatever lengths. And I have the picture at home of the jockey coming down the stretch, looking back under his arm, and you can barely see the horses, in the back part.
Yeah.
And I did buy that. I found it on Time, and I did buy it. It's in my house in a frame.
I'm looking at it now. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. That is, especially for what he did, right, winning the Triple Crown, that is certainly an iconic image. And all I had to do was put Secretariat and then images in Google, and it came right up. So where do you have that hanging?
It's in my basement. I got a little man cave down there. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I have on my wall.
Nice. Now, have you always been a horse racing guy?
I'm a huge horse racing fan. Yeah, yeah, huge.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that one, man. Fred, I thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a good one. Secretariat, that brings the first non-person into the photo. It's not Secretariat, the Triple Crown winning horse. That was certainly absolutely a terrific one. So we're talking about some of the iconic sports images after seeing the photo of Julie Ertz and Casey Short go viral last night. Some iconic sports images. If you want to talk about the photo and the meaning behind Julie sitting kneeling there with Casey Short and putting her arm around her, we could certainly discuss that, because I think it was a special, tremendous significance, a special moment in sports. And we're also talking about some of your favorite athletes growing up who played for teams that you didn't root for. John Elway today turned 60. He was one of those guys. I've heard some great ones over the course of the show. I'm going to give you some of the other ones. I gave you Elway and Don Mattingly and Carl Malone. Reggie Miller for me was another one. I loved Reggie Miller sticking it to Spike Lee at Madison Square Garden with those like that. There was one incredible playoff game. Loved that. Gave you Gretzky. I'm going to give you some of mine, because I would root for guys who weren't necessarily the greatest players. There's one who ended up coming to the Phillies, and I loved watching this guy, and he did not live up to. He was like, the Phillies dipped into free agency and spent a ton of money on this player, came here and did not live up to expectations, but he was a guy I loved watching even before he came to the Phillies, and he was on one of their hated rivals. So 610-632-0975. Jim, hang on. I'll get to you first after the break. You can join a conversation after that. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
PM 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you for another couple of hours here on this beautiful Sunday. Hope you're having an awesome weekend. Hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're sitting in traffic on the way home from the shore, what was it like this weekend? I have not been, and I don't know that, I guess I will at some point. I don't know that I will after 3.5 months in Florida. I say this every year, but this year we took, instead of a month, we stayed 3.5 months. After 3.5 months in Florida, I kind of came home and I'm a little short, beached out. So we were on the beach every day. Even if we didn't go on it, we looked at it. So I was a little beached out, but I'm sure at some point this week maybe we'll take a ride to Stone Harbor, Cape May, like going down there. I got an excuse not to take the kids to Ocean City if the rides and the amusements are not going on, so they don't care. That's all they like. That's what they want to go there for. But if they're not open, nah, I guess I got an excuse not to take them there. 610-632-0975. Having a lot of fun this afternoon with you. Let's get to Jim in Morristown. You're on a Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
How are you, bud?
So, good. I'm going to make it quick. So we're talking about iconic pictures, and you brought up 1980. That's the Miracle on Ice. That's got to be one, right?
Yeah, somebody gave me that one, the Mike Garuzioni celebration. Really? Yeah, there's a lot there. But you got iconic photo in 80 in the city from a Philadelphia sports team.
We're not talking that's Julius?
I know, man. Think championship. Oh,
come on, I'm 29. So.
Oh yeah,
let's go Phillies.
You won't remember the champion, but you should. I give it out. I give it out already.
Let's give it out.
Tug McGraw leaping off the mound. Right?
I've seen it.
Yeah, Tug McGraw leaping off the mound, and then Schmidt running in from third base and jumping on Tug McGraw. That was pretty good. What do you got as your favorite athlete growing up outside the teams you rooted for?
I heard you talk about and like guys that weren't superstars that were just fun to watch.
Yeah,
and I was like early 2000s. I loved in basketball. I played for the Kings. Jason Williams. He was white chocolate, but he just kind of like changed the game a little bit.
Jason Williams, yeah. How do you say he changed the game though?
Because it was more like an N1 style where like he cared more about making it look nice rather than scoring, which didn't help the team. But I'll tell you what, it was fun to watch.
He was fun to watch. He's only 44 years old too. How about that?
Yeah. He was on the Grizzlies for a little bit. He actually won a title with the Heat when Wade and Shaq won that year when they had him and Gary Payton.
Was he on that team?
And, they had a nice backcourt.
He was there for 3 years. How about that? That's a good one, Jim.
Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, man. That's definitely a good one. He's got white chocolate, Jason Williams, as a guy who wasn't necessarily a superstar. Most of the ones I've been getting are superstars. I'll give you the guy that came to the Phillies as a free agent and ended up being somewhat of a bust here. I'll give you that in a second, but let me get to Steve and Mullica Hill. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen. I grew up in North Jersey, and in 1982 moved down to Philly after college, I was a Giants fan all the way up until then, the reality is that, Buddy Ryan was coaching, and I'm like, I can get on board with this. And, so you had Buddy Ryan and all the great players that played for him. But I got to tell you that Lawrence Taylor has got to be a guy that's got to be on the list of individuals that changed the game.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. But he was a guy who you enjoyed watching even as an Eagles fan?
Oh, yeah. When I made the change, it was before cable. So if I wanted to go up and watch a Giants game, I had to go up to Trenton.
Yeah.
But the reality is you got to appreciate the individual effort and the quality of play that Lawrence Taylor brought to the game. And hey, he changed the game. He changed the whole environment of how to play defense.
He was one of the. I mean, he's probably the greatest linebacker of all time, no doubt. And when I think of LT, I think of those vicious hits on Ron Jaworski. And I don't know how Ron Jaworski survived, man. That's what I think, right? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But yeah, he's certainly a good one, Steve.
Well, no doubt. I mean, listen, when I was, I was in college, I went to school with a bunch of guys from Philly. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I lost a lot of money betting on the Eagles when the Giants, this is 80, 81, 82, 83. But, you know, eventually it came around, and the Eagles have delivered.
Yeah, and they got you a title. You could, if you stuck it out with the Giants, you would have had a few more, but the Eagles finally got you that Super Bowl.
I hear you, man. we almost got divorced when I found out my wife threw out my Lawrence Taylor jersey.
Oh. That's cool. So, why'd she do that? Did she do it because she's an Eagles fan, or did she do it because...
I married a girl from Roxborough,
okay.
Dedicated Eagles fan. And that helped me make the move to the Eagles. And but when I found out she threw out the Eagles or the Lawrence Taylor jersey, that was a little too much.
Oh man! Well, I'm glad you guys stuck it out, Steve.
I hear you, Bob.
All right, brother, appreciate it.
All right, good, later.
Good stuff. 610-632-0975. That reminds me of what we were talking about with wives and significant others. I want to hear somebody else, like, make me feel better about myself. The fact that I'm far too involved in decorations and little knickknacks and little things around the house, whether it's the pillows, I'm always turning them the right way or moving some plants or whatever. I'm far too involved in stuff that drives my wife crazy, constantly telling me to stay in my lane. So if there's something that you do that annoys or irritates your significant other, whether you're a guy or a lady, I'd love to hear from you what it is, because I just told my wife again. She said, you know, stay in your lane. I told her I'm not going to be able to. I told her, watch out, I might come home with a new soap dispenser, so she better be careful. She keeps telling me to stay in my lane. I might be buying new soap dispensers, even though she hates that. Mike in King of Prussia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, man? How are you, Mike?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, bud.
Everything I do annoys my wife in some way, shape, or form. So I got to say, for me, Peyton Manning was a guy in the regular season that I just appreciated the surgeon-like nature with which he just operated. Like, he just seemed invincible in the regular season.
Yeah, he was fun to watch, man. He really was. Just the way, like, when you see Peyton Manning off screen, off in front of the camera, away from the field, you go, like, that guy is a superstar quarter. Like, he just looks like so awkward, you know? Yeah. Not as awkward as Eli, but he looks so awkward. Yet he goes out there and, like you said, precision, the way he studies the defense, the way he runs that offense. He's no doubt one of the all time greatest ever.
I mean, I remember I think it was the year he threw for 5,000 plus yards, and it was a Thanksgiving Day game, and it was like touchdown. It was insane, and it was just like people in my house were like, "Why are you still watching this?" I was like, "Cause who does this? Like, this is the kind of stuff. That's the kind of quarterback you want for the Eagles. You know what I mean? Just like, I mean, you'd rather them do a little better in the playoffs, but I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, but precision, and just he was like a surgeon out there.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe him. That was the year 2013, at 37 years old, Mike. He threw for 5,477 yards and 55 touchdowns at 37 years old. Just incredible. Yeah. Phenomenal. Good
You'll
one,
never
man.
See that again. I'll never see it.
Nah. Patrick Mahomes, what did he have, 50?
Yeah, but he did it. Peyton was doing it before they switched the rules where you can't touch the quarterback. Peyton started when you could still destroy quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He had great protection, yeah. But he was able to get rid of the ball quickly enough. You're right. Now it's different.
I don't really respect the quarterbacks today. Like, Pat Mahomes, like, yeah, it's great when no one's allowed to touch you, and if they look your way and you're a superstar, you're getting a flag. So I don't really respect quarterbacks that operate today. Like, I don't think they're of the same ilk.
Yeah, it's different. And that's why it's so hard to compare eras, too. That's like, it's so hard to compare, like, the 80s and Joe Montana to Tom Brady and comparing all kinds of eras. They played in different – the rules were different. A lot of different things made it more it was far more difficult back in those days, and especially now, too, with your wide receivers when the cornerbacks can't touch them and everything else. Before, they used to maul those guys at the line of scrimmage, and they wouldn't get open.
Yeah, anything after 2015, I just don't respect. I don't think – you might be a superstar today, but – you would never have lasted in the prior league. It would have never worked.
All right, Mike. I appreciate it, man, as always. Have a good one. We got some great names for this list. All right, I'm going to tell you the player that the Phillies signed who I was a huge fan of before he came here and even after he came here, and that is Greg Jeffries. So Greg Jeffries began his career with the Mets. He was supposed to be like one of these greatest players of all time, and he played for the Mets in 87. He debuted. He was there until 1991. He didn't really live up to expectations there, and he spent a season with the Kansas City Royals. Then he went to the St. Louis Cardinals. He went to the Cardinals. He had back-to-back seasons as an All-Star. In 1993, he hit .342 with 16 homers and 83 RBIs. And then he was also a guy who wasn't really a good fielder. They tried him at third base. They tried him at second base. They played him at first base. That's where he settled in with the Cardinals. And in 93, he hit .342. That was a career high, 16 homers, 83 RBIs. The following year, he hit .325 with 12 homers and 55 RBIs. And the Phillies gave him, I think it was like a four-year, $20 million contract. He came here at 27 years old in 95. And they thought he would be a guy who would be the anchor in the middle of the offense. And those were some awful, awful Phillies teams in the mid-90s. Just terrible teams. Put him in left field. He was going to play left field. And in 1995, he hit .306 with 11 homers, 56 RBIs. But he also only played 114 games, and I think that was the year he tore ligaments in his thumb. A similar injury that I had ended my college career. But he never really hit .306, .292, .256, and .294 with the Phillies. He never got to 20 homers, 11-7, 11-8. The Phillies finally traded him in the 98 season to the Angels, but he was a guy who didn't live up to expectations. Wasn't a superstar. Had finished with 1,593 career hits. Yeah, a lot of hits for a guy who played till he was 32 years old. But he was supposed to be a potential Hall of Famer and never really lived up to it. But there were guys like that I rooted for. John Russell, Phillies catcher, I rooted for. Guys who weren't superstars, but for whatever reason. In football, I can think of like one of the first names that comes to mind is Tom Rathman. You know Tom Rathman? Was that too early before your time, Josh? Tom Rathman was a favorite of John Madden. He was definitely a favorite of John Madden. Tom Rathman was a fullback for the San Francisco 49ers back when fullbacks were a thing, back when every team had a fullback. But he was a guy who I just enjoyed watching Tom Rathman play the position, wasn't a superstar. 610-632-0975. You want to get in on the conversation? We got a lot that we're talking about, some iconic images in sports, iconic photos. The first one I got tonight was Kawhi, his crouch in the corner, watching his quadruple bounce shot with Joel Embiid standing and looking on, and you can look that up. That is a classic photo. The shot did go in. It's certainly not of the stature of Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston after the first round knockout in 1965, or Tommy Smith and John Carlos in the 68 Olympics doing the Black Power salute on the stand, on the medal stands. They got the gold medal and the bronze medal. There's the Mike Iruzione celebration. We have Secretariat crossing the finish line, some iconic images. I gave you Willie Mays. I gave you Willie Mays' over-the-shoulder catch. I gave you Lou Gehrig standing there giving his luckiest man on the face of this earth retirement speech. We mentioned Tug McGraw leaping off the mound in 1980. But there's a ton of iconic sports images. And this is because we're talking about it because I saw Julie Ertz's photo last night hugging teammate Casey Short as both of them took a knee during the national anthem, wearing the entire team wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts. So did their opponent. So did teams in other, the North Carolina Courage and the Portland team who played earlier in the tournament. They all wore those t-shirts. They all took a knee during the anthem. But the photo of Julie hugging Casey, crying together, if you watch the video, it's emotional. It's a beautiful moment. And I certainly felt like it's an instant classic, and it's going to be one of those that's going to be remembered for a long time. So that's why we're talking about some iconic sports images. There's certainly a ton of them, so I'd love to hear from you on those. Today's John Elway's 60th birthday. He was one of my favorite guys to watch growing up, even though I didn't root for the Broncos. So who were some of yours? Who were some of the guys that you rooted for? So far, we've had, oh, another image was Brandi Chastain. Had a few people give me that one. We got some good ones on Twitter. I'll start giving some of those out, too. I'll start giving out some of the great ones that I saw on Twitter. Oh, Jasper just sent a great one. It's not, yeah, he's right. It's not so much an iconic photo, but a video. But Carlton Fisk waving his walk-off homer in a 1975 World Series, trying to keep it fair. Yeah, how many times did I imitate that? Man, and I don't remember. I only remember watching the highlights of that several years later. He also just sent Lynn Swann's catch in Super Bowl X. Earlier in the show, someone tweeted at me, David Tyree's helmet catch. That's iconic. This one for sure. Here's another good one Jasper sends in. Yep. Chuck Benarek standing over Frank Gifford after that hit that knocked him out cold, standing over him there. So there's so many of those, absolutely so many of those. But some of the favorite athletes, some of your favorite athletes who you watched growing up that didn't play for a team that you rooted for. So far, we got Kevin Garnett, we got Randy Johnson, Troy Polamalu, Calvin Johnson, Grant Hill, Barry Sanders, Peyton Manning, The Bus, Jerome Bettis, Jason Williams, Patrick Roy. I gave you some of mine. Josh gave you his. There's some great ones. Man, Barry Sanders was so fun to watch. Absolutely. Reverse field. Bo Jackson's got to be one. Bo Jackson has to be one. Deion, he's got to be another one. Prime time. Loved watching. How many times did you imitate Deion high stepping? I still do a little Deion high stepping. Playing turkey bowl. Still do that Deion high stepping. Someone's asking here, how many in that photo, how many ladies were actually kneeling? They showed five and one wasn't. How many others weren't? I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that particular team. I know on other teams, both teams, the entire teams took a knee. Rides open tomorrow. How about that? I didn't know that. South Jersey opens all the way up tomorrow. Oh, man. Rides open up tomorrow, so I can't tell my girls that the rides aren't open anymore down the shore. 610-632-0975. Haven't had a ton of conversation on the Phillies. I'm optimistic. I think I'm more optimistic than a lot of people. I think they have potential to win 32, 34 games. I was impressed with what I saw at spring training. Short time that I was there before they shut everything down on March 12. And it was so weird being down there. It was really odd towards the end, those last couple days, because we still didn't know. And I still think we don't know enough about the virus. And I promised I didn't want to, what is going to be a virus-free show. But it was just weird the last few days. But I was impressed with what I saw while I was down there early on. I thought Joe Girardi had he was absolutely instantly respected in the clubhouse by the team, and deservedly so for what he's accomplished on the field, for what he has done in the dugout as a manager, as a winner, and that's reflected in his leadership. Seems like he's a great guy. He's well liked, but he's also not trying to be each player's best friend. He's a guy who the players know, hey, this is he's the manager. this is how he wants things done, and we know our role, we know his role, everything is defined. You got the new hitting coach, Joe Dillon. I was encouraged by what I saw from Reese Hoskins. I was encouraged by what I saw from some of the pitchers on the staff, because Brian Price certainly has made a good impression and has built a nice relationship with the pitching staff. So I feel like there's reason there to be encouraged. The bullpen, I still think, is flawed. The starting rotation, I feel like the starting rotation, now everything aside, if Zach Wheeler is mentally there, if he once shows up, if he wants to play, because we still don't know, some players might opt out. And we know that Zach Wheeler's supposed to have a child on the way. I don't believe he has yet. But Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola in the rotation, I thought Jake Arrieta seems rejuvenated. That's the word that I've used for Arrieta to describe him several times, and I feel like he might have a bounce back year. I don't think he's going to be a Cy Young candidate, but I feel like Jake Arrieta has a little bit left to prove and feels better about this pitching coach than he did before. And JT Realmuto, obviously, with a contract looming, you got JT Realmuto, you got Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen now will be healthy and ready to go. You got the DH, so you can get at bats for Jay Bruce. You can get at bats for Alec Boehm. You can get at bats for certain guys that you may otherwise have rested, especially when you're playing 60 games in 66 days. So assuming everything happens and the season kicks off, I feel optimistic that the Phillies can win 32 to 34 games. How do you feel about the Phillies? Do you agree with me? Are you as optimistic as I am? What total would you put them at? What areas of the team concerns you? Where do you think that they are most flawed? Where do you think is their biggest strength? So we could talk about that over the course of the next hour plus on the show that I'll be with you this evening. And we'll continue. I still want to hear some more of your favorite athletes growing up who didn't play for the team you rooted for. So some of your favorite athletes, guys who or ladies in certain sports, whatever sport it is. Or it could be like a horse. Maybe you would go out of your way and want to see a race. Whoa, Smarty Jones. Who else? Who else did we have? Whoever it may be. Athletes that were your favorite for teams you didn't root for, and some iconic sports images. So we'll give you a rundown of some of the ones we received already, and I'd love to hear from you. 610-632-0975. We got a line for you with your name on it. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Rob Motti, 610-632-0975. Jesse, I'll get to you in 1 second. I spent my break like looking on eBay and other sites trying to find dumbbells. Like the prices, all I have are 30s, 10s, and 5s. And it's hard to get a workout with 30s, 10s, and 5s in resistance bands. I would need a pair of 40s, 50s, and anything beyond that. And the prices are astronomical. Man, people are taking advantage of gyms being shut down.
They were already expensive before the gym shut down, but
this crazy, though?
Yeah, like, as the weights go up, I mean, it really gets expensive.
So right now, like, here, $329 for a pair of 40-pound dumbbells. $329.
Yeah, that's a little excessive.
Right?
But, I mean, still really expensive stuff. That's why you see somebody who has their own gym at home. Big investment.
Yeah, right now, man. And then some of them don't include, some of them shipping's like $105 because you're putting 80 pounds in a thing. Man. Anybody out there who has dumbbells that you don't use, can we barter? Can we? Hey, listen, I'll work something out with you, man.
Delivery driver's going to have a hernia.
I'll come get them. Can we work something out where you're not selling me 40-pound dumbbells for $330 plus a $105 delivery charge? Or, you know the Bowflex ones that are adjustable?
Yep, like the 50-pound ones. Yep.
They're 50-pound ones, but they're adjustable, so that makes sense. All right, they're 300, whatever. But you could use those as, I think, 5s, 10s, 15s, 20s, and they're adjustable. But to have a one set of 40s or one set of 50s, that's crazy. I hope everybody's making a killing off it, though. Jesse in Drexel Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Marat, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I had a copy of the print of Babe Ruth, his last appearance at Yankee Stadium. He'd already been retired. He was wearing a uniform. He was standing at home plate, leaning on his bat, looking out at the stadium, which was packed. That photograph was taken by a guy named Matt Fine, who worked for the New York Daily News. And when he was going to take that photograph, all the photographers were lined up in front of Babe Ruth. So he ran around behind him to get a spot.
Oh.
He took that photograph. It won the Pulitzer Prize for photography in the 1940, I forget the exact year. But I knew Nat Fine's son,
mm-hmm.
and he sent me a print of that picture. That picture, if you go to Nat Fine Incorporated or his estate, they sell that print for like $220 or something like that.
I'm looking at it right now online, and that is certainly an iconic photo because, like you said, he's behind him.
Because he couldn't get a spot in the front, his son told me, because all the other guys were in the front, so he decided to run around the back and see what happened. He took it, and wow, it turned into what you see there. Yeah,
that's a great one, Jesse. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
So that was what, his last game?
He'd already been. I think he was already retired at that time. They were giving him a farewell thing, and he appeared in uniform.
Yeah,
but he was already retired, and Yankee Stadium was packed, as you see in that photograph.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I sold that at auction. I went to an auction house
mm-hmm.
about 10 years ago. I had $720 for that photograph.
Wow.
Somebody bought it, yeah.
Wow. That's certainly a phenomenal photo.
Yeah, and as far as those dumbbells, a friend of mine has the same problem.
It's hard to get them.
He was trying to get a pair of 20s, he said he was having, or 25s. He had a hard time getting them because they want to some ungodly amount of money.
Yeah, I just saw a pair of 20s for like $200.
Jesus.
Not even counting whatever they're charging for a shipping fee. Like, you got to find somebody who's not using and
is
generous enough to make it a decent amount off you without making a killing, I guess. But
yeah, well, I have a gym and a lot of stuff here, but I use it. I used to train guys out here. And
did you really?
Yeah, I worked with fighters for a long, long time. And regular people, too. But the guy next door to me, he moved 5 or 6 years ago, and he said, Frank, I can't take my... he had a bench, and he had mm-hmm. Olympic bar plates. Do you want them? And I said, I don't have a whole lot of room in here anymore, but I'll take it. And got less,
There you go.
Well, good luck on that. I guess because all that stuff comes from China, all the weights.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, too.
Yeah, most of it's made in China now.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Well, good luck. I guess maybe eBay.
Yeah, it's where I'm looking, man. That's where I'm looking. Yeah. But eventually I'm going to have to fork it over, whatever they want.
Well, I guess so. I can't think of any other story.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jesse.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Have a good one. I'm going to have to. I'm telling my wife, keep an eye out. I've been doing, using the 30s in the past couple of days. I got some really good, soreness, like that good soreness where I feel like, oh man, I know it's been a while. For a while there, like, I got into the resistance bands and I was going back and forth with TB12 on Twitter. They actually were supposed to send me an entire thing of Tom Brady stuff. They reached out to me and said, hey, see you using all these resistance bands, how about we send you the TB12 method? I was like, all right, great. So, where are you? Whatever. Here's where I'm staying at, because I'm staying. I was at one place, and then we left before I got the shipment, and we went to a different condo. And I don't know if they sent it to the place that I was, and I never found out about it or not, but I wasn't about to go on there and go, hey, where's my stuff? But, yeah, I was about to get the TB12 method. It works for him, but
Yeah, I don't think that would work for you.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not a big resistance. Like, I like the resistance bands as a change of pace, but it's not. You know, Tom's got a different body that he's not big and bulky. He's not going for that. He's trying.
You can say you have a better physique than Brady does, and you're not willing to throw out the tomato products.
I'm certainly not. I'm going to eat my strawberries. That's for sure. I am definitely not. I'm going to eat my strawberries. All right, Tony in Baltimore. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tone?
Hey, Mr. Mighty. What's happening, partner?
How are you, bud?
I'm well, man. Hey, I'm commuting from D.C. to Baltimore right now. I miss Jersey, miss Philly, but here. Let's go with this talk about the athletes, man. Let's go with what you were saying about Tom Brady just now. You just threw me off my subject, but...
nah, go back to what you... Yeah, whatever you want.
Hey, the Tom Brady thing, that man just does well and eats well. That's all. That's how you do. Take care of yourself. And then it goes back to the dumbbells.
Yeah.
When you said the dumbbells, right? I keep a 35-pound dumbbell in my truck at all times, Rob Mighty, at all times. And I keep that 35 dumbbell. You can do your shoulder press, your military press, everything. You can do everything, but one dumbbell, 35 pounds, man.
Oh, man, yeah, you could do a lot. Like, I got a pair of 30, so I'm doing a lot, but usually, like, the way I work out, I will go up in weight and down in rep, and I lift heavy. So I'm not getting. I have to completely redo my workout. So it's more cutting than bulking up right now because all I have
is
a pair of 30s. But hey, I'll make do for a while there. Tone, I was doing the Herschel Walker thing because I had nothing when I was in Florida. I'm like, all right, let me do push-ups and crunches and sit-ups. It worked a whole lot better for Herschel than it did for me. I'll tell you that.
Yes. I am I live like Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker and Bruce Lee are two of my idols. How I idolize my life around those. Like, seriously, Rob, like, all you do, like, for me, all I do is work all day long, and that's how you live life, man. Like, Jeremiah Trotter, chopping wood, the Axeman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You always take it back to stuff like that. Like, people understand. You can take a manhole cover and bench it, like Mark Bavaro.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can do.
You can push a car, man, if you want to, right? You could push a car.
BW Beetle. I used to push them around all the time.
No doubt. See, I'm too lazy. I just want the easy dumbbells so I could do it in my basement and get my workout in. Who's your Tone, give me the favorite athlete growing up.
Okay. Favorite athlete growing up, number 12, Randall Cunningham, the ultimate weapon, jumping over people, Scrambling Randall. I can tell you, watching him as a kid, I still have his jersey hanging up on my wall. It will never be taken down till the day I die.
He was my favorite too, no doubt. So
Scrambling Randall,
the ultimate weapon. I still got that weapon. Sports Illustrated with the ultimate weapon on the cover. I got it
and
somewhere.
And Bill Belichick even didn't know how to stop him until they broke his legs twice from different teams. The Packers and the doggone. I forget. Oh, it was
the Jets. The other one was the Jets.
Jets. It was the Jets. Yeah, the Jets.
The Jets.
Well, they broke his leg two times in a row, man.
Yeah.
Because back then, that would have been a penalty. And guess what? He broke his leg and there was no flag.
Oh, man.
All right, Rob Mighty.
Yep. I appreciate it,
man. I
love
you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you, man. You the man. Appreciate it, Tone. Bryce Pop's hit. Aha. Uh-huh, that Bryce Pop hit on Randall. In 1990, was it 90 season or 91? I think it was the 91 season. Opening day, Bryce Pop, helmet below the knee. That absolutely, like Tony said, 100% right now, that's illegal. That's an illegal hit. Rick in Montgomery County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rick?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? Yo, I see Josh put up weights. Tell me you got like 40s or 50s laying around that you don't use.
Well, no, so check this out. I already went through what you're going through right now about 2 months ago.
Okay.
It took me about a month looking on Craigslist, going to Dick's. Even though Dick's was closed, I was trying to get stuff shipped from there online.
Yeah, I keep trying that. Yeah, I keep trying all them.
Yeah, they said that they're not shipping because of the wait. So they had to wait till after COVID before they ship you anything. But I ended up finding the guy on Craigslist, and he ended up telling me his dumbbells. But you were right. the prices are crazy. They were trying to sell dumbbells $2 a pound.
True.
And I'm like, man, just get rid of it. Just go ahead and just charge me like $25, whatever the weight is, and then, you know, I got it. But everyone was saying, no, nah, man, I'm, you know, the price is steadfast. $2 a pound. So you're talking about 35 pounds, 40 pounds?
Yeah. If I can get a pair of 40s, 50s, 60s, like I would do anything like that. 70s, that'd be great, man.
Yeah, like you're going to pay an arm and a leg. You're just going to either have to wait till the gym opens up.
I know.
But
here's the thing. Like, I don't know how comfortable I am if it opens up. Like, I don't know. And I'm in Jersey, so things are opening up real slow over there anyway. And I don't think he's going to open up the gyms anytime soon. Somebody just tweeted me a tip, told me how to go about it. So I'm going to follow this guy's tip. There might be some stuff. He said there's a specific app where people are getting rid of stuff, and he just got something. So maybe I can go that route. I got to do what you did, man. Just keep looking. Keep searching.
Yeah, like I ended up finding a guy on Craigslist. He ended up just saying $25, I could take the whole thing. So he ended up giving me 100 pounds worth of weight and a bar. So,
oh, that's not bad. I'll take that. I'll, at this point, man, I'll take like the old school. Remember the things that the ones where you would put the weights on there and you would like screw it on and make sure the cap's on and everything like that. And
I'd
take, the plastic ones with the sand in them, whatever. Oh, I'll take whatever at this point.
Yeah. At that point I would have took anything. Yeah. Cause I remember those back in the day.
Who's your, give me your favorite athlete growing up.
Yo. So listen, I told him like, buy a stick of hammer, but he was just like, give me another one. So,
if you rooted for the Eagles, my thing was it had to be somebody who, for a team that you didn't root for.
Yeah. So, Everson Walls, whenever we played pickup games,
yeah.
I was like, dude, you're not coming over here because you're up against the wall.
Everson Walls, man, how about that? Even though he was a Cowboy.
Yeah, but listen, though, he was still, he was notoriety was there because everywhere when they played the game, you saw the sign.
I thought he may have ended up with the Giants, didn't he? He started out in Dallas. Yeah, he did. He did finish up with the Giants like 2 years with the Giants, too. He might have even won a Super Bowl with the Giants before going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Good one. Thanks, Rick.
All right, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great night. Yeah, he played in Dallas, then went to the Giants 90-91. And, yeah, thanks, Josh. Finished in Cleveland 93. How about that? And he did win. He would have won. I started 16 games with the Giants in 1990, and they ended up beating Buffalo. 610-632-0975. We cleared out the lines. Got an open one for you. Got a lot on the table. You want to join the conversation? I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. That's a little change up right there. Is that a different? I have no clue who that is. Do you, Josh? I don't know.
Yeah, it's The Weeknd.
That's the name of the song?
No, it's In Your Eyes.
Oh, In Your Eyes by
The Weeknd.
By The Weeknd. Oh, okay. The Weeknd. No clue.
I only know because it's right in front of me.
Otherwise, yeah, like, I don't know what era they're from. Do you, any idea? Like, I don't think I've ever heard of The Weeknd.
I think they're more recent, I believe.
Yeah? The Weeknd. I'm looking them up. All right. Yeah. Canadian singer, songwriter, and producer. Began his recording career in 2010. All right, yeah, there we go. Only 30 years old from Toronto. He's not.
Yeah, I don't know why I gave plural there. Yeah, it's one person.
One person.
But outside of my genre.
Yeah, all right. I was not certainly Grammy Award winning Weeknd. So that's nice. 610-632-0975. I'm getting a ton of iconic photos sent to me. Some that would not make you have warm and fuzzy memories if you are a Philadelphia sports fan, including, this is definitely one. the Joe Carter circling the bases after hitting the series-ending home run off Mitch Williams in 1993. Yeah, that's an image that will forever be remembered. Jasper Lucas is sending me several incredibly good ones. Bobby Orr celebrating his series-winning overtime goal in a 1970 Stanley Cup Finals, and this is a phenomenal photo. This may be one of hockey's best. Bobby Orr is completely like in the air, parallel to the ground. Did you see this one?
Yeah, they have a statue in Boston of it,
and it looks like that.
Yep.
That is an incredible photo.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the 1980s Miracle on Ice, when you talk like mainstream hockey fans, that's probably number one.
Man, I want to see who took that photo. You got to give props to that photographer. I'm going to be partial and say I bet you it was an AP photographer. I don't know. I can't find that off that quickly. But yeah, that's a great one. He also sent me other ones. What else did he send? Iconic photos in sports. Oh, we got several people sent Michael Jordan's game-winning shot, game six. What was that, against the Jazz? I think it was against the Jazz. Yeah, Michael Jordan. Who's this? Say Usain Bolt? I remember that photo. Bednarik is certainly a great photo. Carlton Fisk waving, that's a great video. So there's been some great ones. We've been talking about iconic photos in sports because of the image that I saw yesterday. And I thought it was a great, incredible photo of Julie Ertz. Julie Ertz putting her arm around Casey Short and as they're kneeling for the anthem, and never mind the politics of the anthem, because there's a lot of people going back and forth on my timeline about the politics of it and all that stuff. Put all the politics aside, because everything in this country has become so politicized. Even the virus has become politicized. Take the politics out of it. Put humanity into it. That's where it should be. Forget about the politics of it. We should be humanity first, political party affiliation second. Third, fourth, fifth, sit way down the line. Humanity should always be first. Always should be first. And in that image, in that moment, it's a beautiful moment. It's a wonderful moment. And you got Julie Ertz showing her solidarity, unity for a teammate. And it's an emotional moment. And I think that that is an instant classic photo. And that's where the topic came up today. Iconic photos. We've had so many good ones being shared out today. Here, Jasper sends another one. Rocky Marciano's KO of Jersey Joe Walker. I think boxing lends itself to some great images, doesn't it? Like, there's a lot of... You started with Ali Liston that was taken by the caller who gave us three. But I think boxing kind of lends itself to some of those. Don't you think, Josh?
It does, just by the nature of it, because that's the moment where the crowd pops. That's where you see the energy of maybe one athlete, the other athlete obviously deflated because they lost consciousness. And now you have UFC. MMA's kind of taken the place of boxing for decades from now, some of the iconic moments.
Oh, no doubt. Man, I don't know who it was in yesterday's UFC bout, but it was going on while I was on the air here, and I just told you know how it's distorted our view here is with the cameras or whatever, Josh. And I looked over and I saw like two guys who were a bloody mess, and it was so I was on 7 to 10, so I'm not sure, it was probably closer in the 8 to 9 hour, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe they didn't stop that fight.
It was actually, I think, around the time frame you're talking about, it would have been Kyle Daukaus and Brendan Allen, which Pat Egan here has had the opportunity to interview Kyle Daukaus a couple times, and we actually saw him live at Parks Casino in his last fight.
Man, was he the guy who was the recipient of the beating?
Yeah, unfortunately, he took a little bit more of the beating in the first two rounds and had a nice little gash.
Yeah, it was a bloody, absolute bloody mess, but... iconic photos. Yeah. Oh, here's a great one. I can't believe we didn't get this in the first 3 hours. This was a Manny sends this to me on Twitter. I'm not going to reveal this one yet. This is a just an incredible one, especially if you're a Sixers fan. Like, this is one of the all-time greatest photos. It was a moment, but it's captured here in a photo. So
it's a much older one, correct?
It's this century, man.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't check the Twitter, because he sent it to 97.5 The Fanatic too, as well as he sent it to me. But I'm surprised that we didn't get this one yet mentioned in the first. We've had so many. Here's another great one: Randy Johnson obliterating that bird. Like, wow. Ah, man. So there's been a ton of iconic images, and you've given me some great ones over the course of the first 3 hours. This one that Manny just sent to us is one from the Sixers that I'm surprised I didn't receive it yet in the first three. But, hey, it's a great one. I don't want to reveal it yet. So if you know which one it is that I'm talking about, it's this century, and it's a Sixers photo, and it is certainly an iconic one. 610-632-0975. Also, some of your favorite athletes growing up outside of the team you rooted for. We're talking about that, as well as your thoughts on the Phillies. I got them over 31.5, 32 to 34 wins. Where do you have them? 610-632-0975. I got open lines for you. Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
7 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. Here with you for another hour. 610-632-0975. So I made the mistake of diving back into the 101-page manual for baseball's back to play from the pandemic rules. And man, they've covered so much in there. There's one that is very interesting to me that I think should always be used, and that's close the lid. So if you're traveling and on the team plane, one, you must use disposable gloves. Two, close the lid before flushing and wash hands. Like, all this should be common sense, but close the lid before flushing. Also, people on team flights are asked to wait several minutes between using the restroom and the toilets. Well, what if you can't wait? What if you got to go? Man, you got to go. You got to go. They got a lot on their hands. I didn't want to get into the virus or have that conversation. We've avoided it for the first 3 hours. I'm avoid it for the next hour too as well. Instead, we've had some fun with you. If you want to talk Phillies, I'm talking about my optimism for this team. I believe they're a 32 to 34 win team. A lot's going to depend on who's healthy, who's playing, who's able to play, and who is available. The bullpen is a big area of concern, and I think especially this year, in this shortened season, with the setup of the season, you can't expect starting pitchers to go deep into games. You simply can't. You're not going to have starting pitchers go deep into games. So you're going to have to rely on your pen a whole lot more than you ordinarily will. And for that reason, you're going to need a lot of arms, and you're going to need a lot more. They need depth. They need a lot back there. And Joe Girardi actually said it this week. He was on MLB Network. He said, you can't start running your relievers out there for a number of days in a row just because it's not a marathon. Now it's a sprint. You think about position players, how many games are they really going to play before they go into the regular season compared to a normal spring training? There's a fine line as managers that we walk to make sure players aren't overused, because think about it, if you hurt someone or they go on the injured list for 2 to 3 weeks, that can cost you the season. That's the thing. When you got a 60-game season and a 66-day span, anyone goes on the DL, they're out for a while. They're out for a while. So that's what I'm talking about with the Phillies. I think they can win 32 to 34 games, stay in contention. But of course, everything's going to be dependent upon who's healthy and who isn't. We've had some fun this afternoon with some of the most iconic images in sports, photos that stand out to you. I'll run down some of them in a bit. We've had incredible ones, Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston. We've had Mike Ruzioni's celebration in the 1980 Miracle on Ice. We've had so many good ones. I want to hear some of those that you have. Some of your favorite athletes outside of the Philadelphia sports or outside of teams that you rooted for. So even if you weren't a Philly sports fan, if you come on and tell me you were a Cowboys fan, but your favorite athlete or one of the favorite guys to watch growing up was an Eagle, then I'll take it. But whoever it is outside of the team that you rooted for, so we're talking about that too as well. We got Doug in San Francisco, where he gets to root for Gabe Kapler and the Giants, although I don't think he will. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Doug?
Absolutely not, Rob.
Didn't think so.
Hey, Rob, man, good to hear you back on the airwaves. The last time I talked to you, it was the day before Kobe passed away.
Oh,
and
man,
you and I were talking about our kids going to basketball games. So
yeah,
it's great to hear you back on. So
thank you, man. Appreciate it.
The first guy is Clyde Drexler.
Clyde the Glide, yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
So I became sort of a Portland fan, and incidentally, I ended up marrying my wife, who's from Portland, so I've been able to go to a bunch of games recently. But throughout the years, you know, they always had really strong guards. They had Brandon Roy and now Damian Lillard, who's one of my favorites. And I think you'll appreciate this one. Back in the day, I was a big fan of David Robinson.
Oh, so man, I like the big guys, David Robinson.
But, I mean, when he used to go up against Elijah Wan, to me, okay, this is terrible of me, but I'm just going to say it anyway. It was like the Christian guy against the Muslim guy. And looking back now, I love Elijah Wan, but, like, you know, back then I was like David Robinson, man, you got to do it. But he was one of my favorites. But those are the two or three guys I loved outside of Philadelphia.
There's some good names, man. There are some good names. Now, Doug, I don't remember. Did you grow up here and then move out to San Fran area?
Yeah. So I grew up in Philly, and I moved out to San Francisco back about 13 years ago now. Wow. And I've been living out here ever since. It's just kind of hard to move back. You know, my life's here. I have kids now. So, but, you know, the great thing is I raised my child right, and I'll say that because my kid is a huge Sixers and Eagles fan, both of them.
Wow.
And the last thing I got to do before Corona shut everything down is my kid and I went to the Warriors game when the Sixers played them, and my kid was in it for four quarters, just every single shot. He's 6 years old and he loved it.
Wow,
loved
every single shot. That's awesome,
it was awesome,
man. That's good stuff.
It was awesome.
Outstanding parenting, Doug. I appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, Rob. See you later, man.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice again. Is that Garen in South Jersey? You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Garen?
What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
How are you, bud?
All right, so let me tell you something. I'm probably in the minority here, but I absolutely love this 60 games for baseball, only because I have absolutely no idea what to expect, man. And I think that is the coolest thing of all. Normally, we'd sit here and say, all right, pencil in the Yankees, this team, that team. But, bro, like you said, 60 games, someone gets hurt, someone pulls off a huge winning streak to start. Let's just ride with it, man, and just be happy that we got some sort of baseball back, man, you know?
I love this call because I'm with you 100%. And I said this for 4 hours last Sunday. No matter what baseball does to shoot themselves in the foot, to hurt the sport, I'm just a baseball diehard. I love the fact that I can watch the game. I can go to the game. I love the fact that I can do it for a living. It's awesome. People want to complain, oh, I'm not into it because they did this, they did that. Even if they had decided on a 128-game season, realistically, could they have pulled it off? I don't think so, because of COVID anyway. So this is what they can do. Let's appreciate it and enjoy it.
I will tell you, I'm not excited about starting a runner at second.
I hate that.
Innings,
yeah, I hate
nevertheless,
that.
Nevertheless, so my all-time favorite hockey player put me in one of the biggest moral conundrums I could ever have been in my life, and that's Steve Yzerman. Because back in the day, the Red Wings and the Flyers play, so it's like I'm a diehard Flyers fan, so of course I want them to win, but then at the same time, there's my favorite player other than my Philly guys about to maybe get his first cup. So that really broke my heart that the Flyers lost, but I was happy to see Yzerman get the ring. And I'm not, I just tuned in not that long ago, so this one might have got said as far as the iconic photo moment. What about the John Carlos at the Olympics with the fist?
Yeah, I got that one early, and that's definitely one. That is for sure. I'll tell you this, Garen. I also liked Sergei Fedorov. So I was,
he was awesome.
Kind of like, you know, you know how you always had your hometown team, then you rooted for somebody outside.
Sure.
Yeah. For me, it was the Red Wings a little bit. It was mostly Edmonton, but because they were so good and they beat the Flyers, I couldn't, and I would be like, all right, Red Wings, and then they end up facing the Flyers in 97.
I'm going to be 45 years old in a couple weeks, and the first ever hockey jersey I bought with my own money was a home white-on-red Steve Yzerman jersey when I was like 13 years old. I don't know what made me love him, but I just, the dude was the man. Thanks for your time, Rob.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. By the way, the Phillies, after 60 games in 2018, were 32-28. 32-28. So now they're being asked to 31.5. And then last year, they were right there at 33-27 after 60 games. That's why I feel like this year, after 60 games, they'll be right in that 32-34 range. That's what they were the last 2 years. And I feel like this is a slightly better team. And Joe Girardi, Brian Price, Joe Dillon are going to have an impact, I believe. All of it's going to come down to, of course, it's going to come down to who's healthy, who's available, who's able to be out there. But I'm more optimistic, I think, than most people. Let's get to my man Vince in South Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vince?
Hey, Rob. Good evening.
How are you, bud?
I was going to give one. I guess it was already taken. The infamous Chuck Bednarik kid on Frank Gifford, and it's just
That's one of the all-timers, no doubt.
You ever see the actual clip of that too? It's amazing, even more because like he just comes out of nowhere and just flattens him. But another one I was thinking of, and I think it's a still photo, but there's the infamous one, I guess, of Babe Ruth pointing to center field during the World Series against the Cubs,
where he called his own shot.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You know, because I guess that's kind of why I always envy in some ways, like the photography. You know, I had enough trouble back in the old days with those disposable cameras. You know, I can never get it right.
No doubt. I'm looking at it now, Vince, online to see, and I think there it is. Yeah, he's pointing out because there's a lot of illustrations of it.
Yeah,
but. Man, can you imagine getting that shot? That was a good one. Guy earlier had the Babe Ruth, the retirement, where he stood, he got the photo from behind. That finds, that was a great one, too.
Yeah, but there's probably so many iconic ones anymore. I mean, I don't know if it loses its luster now that everything's online and on Instagram. I guess it could still, you know, go viral, as they say, but... I was thinking, you know, there's so many other athletes who I respect, and I know, or... like favorite athletes, and I know his image obviously has been tarnished since then, but I was always a big Pete Rose fan as a player. You know, because like I like the fact that, you know, because people would always say, well, you know, he's always worried about his statistics, but to me, the fact that he would do things like, say, look the pitch all the way into the catcher's mitt, you know, things like that, like he was so focused and intense, you know, so I mean, obviously, you know, but I'm saying strictly from an athletic standpoint. You know, I always admired him for that.
Yeah, I'm a little younger than you, so I couldn't appreciate him. I do remember his tail end of his career here in Philly, and I do remember that. But man, when he was on the Big Red Machine in Cincinnati, and he was just a special player. Charlie Hustle, of course, and all that stuff. But yeah, like even his little crouch, right? The way he crouched and, as you said, watched the ball into the catchers. Things that you're taught, the fundamentals of baseball. He did that every pitch, every at bat, every time out there. You know what I loved about him is that he would be like, you never wanted to give up an at bat. So even if you're 4-for-4, you wanted, some guys would be satisfied and giving away an at bat. And he's like, I'd be 4-for-4, but I want to go 5-for-5.
Well, see, the funny thing is, I remember too, I guess this is before your time too, but I remember when he had his 38 game hitting streak end, and he was pissed off at Gene Garber because he said, why is he pitching me like it's the seventh game of the World Series? Or something like he struck out the end of, you know, his streak. But I'm just saying, like, I always respected that competitiveness. He's almost like, this might analogy might not it might be a bit of a reach, but he's almost like a Bobby Clark of baseball, you know, where he just, every pitch was like he was focused and, you know, that same competitive juices and stuff like that.
Yeah, to some degree, Vince, I would say Chase Utley was close to that, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, to some degree, no doubt.
Chase Utley, you are the man!
Good stuff, Josh.
Yeah, love that quote.
Love that. Hey, Vince, as always, man, good stuff.
Yeah, take care, Rob.
Have a good one. I always appreciate talking to Vince. Mike from King of Prussia just checked in on Twitter, said, has anyone said Len Dawson smoking at halftime of the Super Bowl? That is an, no, I didn't get that. That is an iconic one. Len Dawson smoking a cigarette. And I looked it up, and right there you got t-shirts. Can you imagine that? He's sitting there. Is that halftime? It's halftime of the Super Bowl, and he's out there enjoying a cigarette during the first Super Bowl. That is a good one, Mike. Yeah, that's definitely iconic. Dan's been sending tremendous ones. Alex Ovechkin holding the cup, yeah, and the Nova game-winning shot. Oh, yes, the Odell Beckham one-handed catch against the Cowboys. That was Sunday Night Football. I remember that.
Hold on, someone went Ovechkin holding the cup?
He went.
How do you not go Ray Bourque?
Oh, Ray Bourque. Yeah. Ray Bourque's a good one. I mean, he went Ovechkin, though. He's got Kobe with his hand. Kobe standing there with his hand on his arm. Is that for... that's with the Lakers. I thought Team USA. Cubs breaking the curse. Oh, that. Yeah, here's another great image. Malcolm Butler's interception at the goal line when Seattle didn't give it to Marshawn Lynch. Nick Foles catching... The Philly special touchdown, Nick Foles' catch. That photo is great. There's a photo of Tiger. I still can't believe we didn't get anybody who guessed. All right, you guessed during the break the iconic 76ers photo, and then I said,
I told
no.
you what the answer should be.
Yeah, this one's more recent, but go ahead, tell everybody what you thought it should be. Because
I thought it was going to be the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game, and
yeah.
I know what the answer is going to be if we're using more recent, because okay. It's kind of a little obvious.
All right.
Yes.
But the Wilt one, you're right.
That, yeah, well, I mean, when Ben Simmons had the 1-point game against Boston, we know what happened. They photoshopped the Wilt photo and they put him in there and everything.
Yeah, and Joe when he had zero. Remember Joe?
Exactly.
Well? Yeah, that should be. And the story behind that, wasn't that Harvey Pollack, the longtime Sixers stat guru? I believe it was Harvey Pollack who told Wilt, hey, you got to take this photo. And then Harvey sent it to the AP. I'm almost certain that's how it went. Let me double check. Yep. When he scored a hundred points that night, Harvey Pollack had Wilt take that photo. Cause I think at that time, Harvey was the stat guru, but he also may have worked on the PR side of it. So, I'm reading he was the statistician. He was also the reporter for that game because there was no press at that game in Hershey. So Pollack made Chamberlain the sign, which he holds in his famous post-game photo. And how about that? Yeah, that's a good one. But no, the Sixer one that's more recent. I'm shocked that nobody guessed this one yet because it's a beloved, revered player in this town. What are some of the others? You got to go Cap. Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. The first one, that's an image that's been used over and over and over again. Here's a photo of Jesse Owens standing at the 1936 Olympics after he won 4 gold medals, standing at the podium, proudly saluting in 1936. That's an iconic photo.
Usain Bolt has a good one as well.
Is it the one in tears?
I was going to say the one where he poses at the finish line. Like, I mean, he obviously poses a lot, but it was one of his earlier wins, and he blew everybody away. And if he didn't pose, I think at that time he would have beat whatever world record it was.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's a great one. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good one. This one goes way back. What Olympics was it? Oh, 96? I thought it was even before that. But it's Kerry Strug being carried by her coach, Bella Caroli.
That's a good one.
Right? She competed in the Atlanta Olympic Games with two torn ligaments and a sprained ankle. She's got the boot on her left leg, and she won the gold, and she's waving to the crowd, and there's her coach carrying her. So that's certainly an iconic one. But there's so many other ones, man. So many other good ones. I still can't believe we don't have the Sixers one. I'll keep it going, though, for a little bit longer before I give you the Sixer one. Everybody's going to be like, oh, I thought that would have been guessed already. I thought somebody would have said that. But no, this one has not been guessed yet. Give me some more of your favorite athletes that you grew up rooting for outside of the team that was your team, your favorite team, whether if you're a Philly 4-for-4 or someone outside the city. We've had Randy Johnson, Kevin Garnett, Clyde Drexler, David Robinson, Jason Williams, Grant Hill, Barry Sanders, The Bus, Jerome Bettis, Peyton Manning, Troy Polamalu, Patrick Roy. I gave you my guy, or one of my several, Marino, Montana, Elway, who is celebrating his 60th birthday today, John Elway. So that's another one. Somebody just guessed the Sixers one, but it was on social media, so I'm not going to read it out unless you call in, but that is the one that I'm talking about. Absolutely. Yeah, there is, and somebody else just tweeted it at me. There's actually, this particular Sixers player has two iconic photos. One, early in his career, probably, I'll tell you, it was his rookie season. And then the other one is later on in his best season. I'm giving out all kinds of hints. All kinds of hints I want to hear. 610-632-0975. So we've been talking about that, having some fun with you this afternoon. If you have a prediction for the Phillies on how many wins they will have this season, I got them at the 32 to 34 win range. That's where they were after 60 games each of the last 2 years, 32 in 2018, 33 in 2019. I'm probably closer to 33, 34 right now. I don't think that'll be good enough to get them in the postseason, but they'll be in contention. A lot's going to depend on the bullpen arms and how they hold up, because in this kind of season, you're going to have to rely on the pen a lot. So it's going to be interesting to see. 610-632-0975. Looks like a lot of guys want to get in and want to take a guess on who this is. So we'll keep the lines open for you. I'm not going to reveal which it is, but there's two iconic photos for this one particular player that I'm surprised it's taken well over 3 hours to get to. Finally, it looks like a few people, now you're guessing it right on social media, but it's iconic photos. Iconic photos. And again, I started this off today because I was talking about Julie Ertz. Julie Ertz's photo with Casey Short yesterday before the Chicago Red Storm game, and they're kneeling for the anthem, but they're hugging, and it's just a beautiful, wonderful moment. So that was an instant classic, and it's going to probably go down as a iconic sports image, and that's why we've been talking about iconic sports images throughout the afternoon. So I want to hear your iconic sports images, and I want to get your favorite athletes outside of the city. Jay and everyone else, hang on, I promise. I'll get to you next. If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you, 610 610- 6320975. Looks like we had a whole bunch of people who guessed. Let's get to Jay in South Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going, Rob?
How are you, man?
I figured, you know, the obviously crossover and the step over, of course. But I got to talk.
You got it, man. I can't believe it took this long. Those are two iconic sports images. The step over Tyronn Lue late in the 2001 finals, and the other being his crossover on Michael Jordan.
Yeah, dude. I mean, as soon as you said Sixers, that's the first thing that came to mind. And my son, he's 9 years old, and he's got a wicked crossover, but he loves Iverson. He's like, Iverson was better than Jordan. I'm like, nah, you know, you got to slow down with that. But, you know.
I love my little dudes.
I love them. Yeah, I love my little dude. But as far as, I'm a 4-for-4, but as far as outside the city, Walter Payton, man. Walter Payton, I did a report in school, whatever book I could find, I had a running back. It was when Walter Payton had the record for most yards. And it was about Earl Campbell, I mean, Jim Brown, all of them.
Oh, and, there's some good names, yeah.
Oh, dude. And Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders were still playing at the time I did the report. But Sweetness, man, he was tough. The whole story about him crying because he couldn't play with a broken foot or leg or whatever it was. I mean, I love that dude.
Sweetness was great. You know what? I was always annoyed with Mike Ditka for giving a ball to William the Refrigerator Perry at the goal line in that Super Bowl. And Walter Payton didn't get a touchdown in that game. It's a blowout game, and you're giving a ball to the fridge. Like, let Payton get his touchdown in the Super Bowl, Ditka. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, Walter Payton should have had that G.I. Joe character instead of the fridge. Old enough to remember that. Probably not, but...
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. Walter Payton. I like it.
No problem, brother.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, Jay.
Take care, man.
Good all stuff. Right, thank you. So he guessed it. AI, the crossover on Jordan, and AI's step over on Tyronn Lue. Those are iconic images, photos, moments that were captured. And it took us 3.5 hours, but we got those. All right, let's get to Paul in Somerton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Rob. Always enjoy your show. I just got out of work.
Thank you.
And
appreciate
I heard
it.
Your question, and I was like, how is that possible for it to take 3.5 hours? I wish I would have not been at work and been able to call right away, because obviously it was going to be the crossover on Jordan and the step over Tyronn Lue. One of the moments that I really appreciated is when Scotty Reynolds hit the layup slash jump shot against Pitt to send Villanova to the Final Four for the first time in 2009. I know it's not the national championship that they won in 16, but the Scotty Reynolds shot was legendary. You know, me and my house, we went crazy over it. As far as a athlete that's not in Philly that I liked, I didn't see him play live because he, you know, passed away prior to that. So me being able to see him play, it was Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh, wow.
I love Pistol Pete Maravich. Love watching highlights of him.
Yeah.
I recently just got his semi-biography, Pistol Birth of a Legend. I want to show it to my son. I want my son to see, you know, him growing up and try to show him highlights like my dad did with me. As far as the Phillies record, I think maybe I'm crazy, but I think maybe possibly 35 wins. I'm going to go a little bit higher than what you projected. Wishful thinking. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you what, though, Paul. I don't think it's out. You know, if they were able to get to 33 last year, and I think this is a better team than last year, and certainly the influence of Joe Girardi, Brian Price, and Joe Dillon, that could be worth two wins after 60 games compared to last year. So I don't think you're entirely it's not as outlandish as some may think, 35 and 25.
And then the last thing I'm going to say, if sports continues this year, which I really hope, I mean, I hope it's not pulled out from under the rug on us, the Sixers are going to beat the Lakers in the finals.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
Sixers,
so thank you
Lakers.
So much, Rob, for
all right, man.
Taking my phone call. Have a great night, and enjoy your shows.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Paul, as always. Have a great night. He's got Sixers beating the Lakers in the finals. If it gets, hey, I hope it gets to that point. I really do. I hope we get to that point. I didn't want to talk about too much, get into, because yesterday I thought, like, I feel really skeptical, and I don't want to get into being skeptical and negative. It's not what I want to do. So I hope it happens. I hope that all the wild stuff that we're seeing and the numbers going up, that they're able to contain it and flatten the curve in these other states and all that stuff. I don't want to get into the virus today, but hey, Sixers beating the Lakers in the finals. Can you imagine if that happens? I don't care if they sat out 3.5 months, 4 months, shortened, whatever it is. That would be, hey, you're going to celebrate that championship no matter what. Not sure if anyone mentioned these, but I haven't heard two of MJ's most iconic photos. Jasper tweets in the one of him jumping in the air after the shot over Craig Elo, and the one of him taking off from the foul line, free throw line in the 88 dunk. No, I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one. I did get the shot, though, the game-winning shot over Elo, which is definitely a good one. But, yeah, there's some good ones. There's another one, Sixers-related, too, that goes, it would be between Wilt and AI. It's a good one that is iconic. It was a photo. It's a great photo. Let me think. I'm trying to see what year it was. I know the era. And I'm going to go, it's certainly one that many people, if you're a Sixer fan, you're going to remember this. You're absolutely going to remember this. But it hasn't been guessed. It's an iconic image moment photo from the 76ers back in time. But when Jasper said MJ, I was like, oh, well, MJ, we're going to go with this one, too. Got to go with that guy. That's a good one, though. MJ, hey, there's so many as it relates to Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan, I'm saying Magic Johnson because he just sent me a Magic Johnson. Larry Bird, that's a good one, too. Intertwined, arms locked underneath the basket. That's a good one. We've had so many good ones over the course of the show so far today. Even had Secretariat. That was a good one, but iconic images, iconic moments in sports. Man, they're still going back and forth on my timeline. It was only, of all the comments today, and I'm impressed, only two people took issue with the Julie Ertz, Casey Short photo. Only two. And wouldn't you know it, Josh, those two who took issue with it are still going back and forth, back and forth. Yep, AI with the step over on Tyronn Lue. Terrific, absolutely terrific. That's a good one. Favorite athletes growing up? I gave you my baseball guy was Mattingly. Who else in baseball? There were some. Tony Gwynn. I enjoyed watching Tony Gwynn for sure. There were some. Pudge Rodriguez, I enjoyed watching. Some other guys. Vladimir Guerrero, I enjoyed watching. Just because he's so unorthodox as a hitter. So there were a lot of guys outside this city that I enjoyed watching. And especially in baseball and in football and in hockey, I gave you a few. Basketball, I was a fan of the big guys. I was a fan of the guys, the power forwards, the centers. It's a different game. Reggie Miller, too. I enjoyed watching Reggie Miller, especially when he was going back and forth with Spike Lee at Madison Square Garden. Some classic playoff games between the Pacers and the New York Knicks in the 90s. Enjoyed those. Loved seeing Reggie hitting those threes, knocking down those threes, and really sticking it to Spike Lee. Someone gave me Clyde the Glide Drexler. There was David Robinson, Grant Hill. Barry Sanders is a phenomenal one. I didn't get Bo Jackson, but I gave that one out. I didn't get Deion, so I gave Deion out. Randy Johnson. One of the guys that I got to cover the end of his career, but Barry Bonds was somebody I would make sure I sat in my seat, whether I was at the game as a fan, or if I was watching on TV, or later in his, when I was covering baseball, Barry Bonds was a guy I 100% would stay in my seat to watch. I thought Barry Bonds was Barry Bonds was the best hitter I ever saw. And he played well into my, he played in up until 2007. So I got to cover Giants-Phillies games for 8 years, from 2000 to 2007. I remember going into the vet, and he would ask for a recliner to be put in front of his locker. So where every other player has just their normal stool in a locker, Barry Bonds would have a recliner. So that was just an incredible. In 2001, he was here. What home run did he hit against the Phillies? I remember covering it in 2001 because they had the big post-game news conference, and it was separate, and you had to wait for him. That was the year he hit 73, but I forget which one he hit that year against the Phillies, because it was, I'm gonna look that up. But he was a surly guy, but I didn't care about that. I didn't care about what kind of guy he is. I never judged them by who they are. It's just how do you perform? That's how I go about it when I vote for the Hall of Fame. Okay, so they did come to Philly in 01. I'm pretty sure it was late in the season at Philadelphia. I'll find out. I'm not sure where it was. Oh, here it is. It was May. It was in May. So he hit one home run in May against the Phillies. It must have been later on when he was going for the 755. Let's get to Joe in the Northeast. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing? I've been trying to get you on your topic.
Yes, sir. What you got for me, my man?
Listen, I can think of two moments. Chocolate Thunder, smashing the backboard to smithereens, or Dr. J slam dunking from the free throw line.
See, that's that. There was Dr. J. Chocolate Thunder's a good one. That for sure. Shattering the backboards, right? How many times did he do that? If it was more than once. It was a few times, right?
I can't remember. I don't know.
And Dr. J, the one I was thinking about isn't the one. There's, of course, the one leaping from the foul line. But you remember the layup against the Lakers? I believe it was against the Lakers, where he went under and around the basket.
No, I don't remember.
Remember that one? He went up. And then around, under and around. And it's just one of those. But Dr. J was good for so many of those iconic moments and iconic photos. Absolutely, for sure, Joe.
But he don't compare to my homeboy, and I hate that. I was born and raised in Louisiana, so I'm an Andrew Toney fan.
Oh, so, the Boston Strangler, Joe.
There you go.
Yes, all sir. Right. All right, man. I appreciate the call.
Take it easy.
Have a good one. 610-632-0975. I'll be here for another segment. You want to get in with an iconic photo, a great image in sports that is just sticks out to you, or your favorite athlete outside of the teams you rooted for? I got a few open lines for you. 610-632-0975. And if anyone, no one's going under on the Phillies 31.5. I think it was Drew earlier who was like, I'll be right around there, maybe 30, 31. But so far, everyone is like me, on board for above 31.5 wins. So you're all as optimistic as I am so far. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.